വാസുദേവായ സംസാര സാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മം ഗ്രാഹ്യ ഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയം നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം ഭവ കേശവാം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദ്വിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൽ തേനെ ബ്രഹ്മ ഹൃദാ യാ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം ഭരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവം അത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താവത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമൽഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യമരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താവത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദം അഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരമോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയിൽ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണുക്കുണിതാദൃതാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജംഭദാം മുരാരേർമധുരിന്ന കണികാഭികാഭികാഭീ നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ശ്രീഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖ കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശ മനിഷം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. സോ വി വർ reading from Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto, the story of Daksha, how Daksha Prajapati offended Lord Shiva, and the result of his offense to Lord Shiva, how Daksha was put into accept the body with the goat's head at the end after the sacrifice. All these stories are in the fourth canto. So before we go further, as I mentioned in the last class, that there are a few more things we have to mention here in relationship with this Daksha Prajapati and the story of Daksha's marriage to Sati Devi. As we saw before, Swayambhu Manu had three daughters and two sons. Akuti, Devahuti and Prasuti, they were the three daughters. And Priyavrata and Uthanavada, they were the two boys. So in normal circumstances, in those times, as we see from all the other Puranas also, that generally the eldest son takes over the kingdom after the father's departure. But here, Uttanavada, who is the younger brother of Priyavrata, had taken over the kingdom, unlike instead of Priyavrata. This is what we find in the Bhagavatam. But later on, you will find in the fifth canto why Uttanavada took over rather than Priyavrata, because Priyavrata had a tremendous desire not to get involved in this material world, rather to go back to the spiritual world from the very beginning itself. Because of that, when he met Sri Narada Muni in his early days, he wanted to become like Narada Muni. That was his desire in his heart, very strong desire developed. So he asked Narada Muni that, how can I become like you? Because seeing Narada Muni's independence and the freedom to travel and careless about the whole creation, wherever he could go anywhere, Narada Muni was welcomed in every palace. Even Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, they all welcomed Narada Muni. So at the same time, Narada Muni could go to Goloka Vrindavan also, and also he could go to Vaikuntha planet, he could come to the earthly planet. So you will see completely uncared for, complete freedom Narada Muni had to travel the spiritual world or in the material world. And wherever Narada Muni went, Narada Muni was welcomed by everybody. That was just the quality of a great soul like Narada Muni. And you will see in the story of Dhruva how these qualities come to a devotee automatically. So Sri Narada Muni, seeing Sri Narada Muni's freedom of travel and independence, Priyavrata wanted to become like him, and he asked Narada Muni, how I could become like you? So Sri Narada Muni immediately took him to the Gandhamadana mountain and gave instructions to him to practice penances and to go back to the spiritual world. And it is in those circumstances that Priyavrata did not take up the administration of the planet. On the other hand, it went to the hands of Uttanavada. So Uttanavada took over from Swayambhuva Manu's time. And then these three daughters, Akudi, Devahudi and Prasudi, who were married to three different Prajapatis, their story comes after that. So we have seen earlier in the third canto how Kardama Prajapati married Devahudi Devi, and how nine daughters were born from that marriage, and Kapila Vasudev or Lord Kapila also appeared from that. So Akuti was married to Ruji Prajapati. She was married to Ruji Prajapati, the one daughter. Devahudi was married to Kardama Prajapati. And Prasudi was married to Dasha Prajapati. This is how the three Prajapatis, they married the three daughters of Swayambhu Manu. And we saw that there is a lot of reference to Kardama Prajapati and her daughters, the nine daughters who were married to different sages at different times. And in throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that all these personalities coming up at different times, right up to 9th or 10th canto, it's there. So it is important to know a little bit about all these daughters and their husbands and their family tree. Because sometimes it's very difficult to relate with a sage, saintly personality, unless you know the background of that saint, where he originated from. And that's why, and all these personalities are such great personalities in throughout all the other Puranas, like Malsa Puranam, Vamana Puranam, Garuda Puranam, Brahmana Puranam, Brahma Vaivatam, everywhere it is their story that we read at different places. Their austerities, their penances, and their successes and failures in spiritual life. So here you find Ruchi Prajapati married Akudi. And from that marriage, twins were born. One was known as Yajna and the other one was known as Dakshina. Actually, there were nobody else than Vishnu and Lakshmi. Mahavishnu and Lakshmi took birth through Ruchi Prajapati's wife, Akudi. And Yajna and Dakshina, they were out of them. Yajna was taken to Swayambhuva Manu's home, because Swayambhuva Manu has said that if a children were born, the boy should be brought to his house to be looked after. So it's known as Putrika Dharma. According to that system, They brought Yajna into his house, into Swayambhuvamani's home, and Yajna was brought up there. So this Yajna is an incarnation of Vishnu himself. And Yajna later on married the twin sister, Dakshina, because originally they were known as Vishnu and Lakshmi. So therefore their marriage was bona fide and it was done later on. Out of the 9 daughters of Devahuti Devi, different sages married them. Marichi, Atri, Angiras, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kradu. Then Bhrigu, Vasishta, Daksha, and Dashamastatra, Narada, and the 10th one was Narada. So out of that, we see there, out of the 9 girls, they were married to 9 different sages. We saw before that Atri married Anasuya, Vasishta married Arundhari, and Pulastya married Havibhu, like that. So from these marriages, children were born, and their stories also, they also come up later in the Bhagavatam. So Atri and Anasuya, and Atri and Anasuya, there were 3 children born from that relationship. And there were nobody else than Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. They had to take birth in that family. Brahma took birth as Soma, Mahavishnu had to take birth as Dattatreya, and Lord Shiva has to take birth as Duvasamani through Anasuya. So that is another aspect of their greatness, that how powerful these sages were. Atri was, and Anasuya also. Just like the name, she was also represented the same character. I mean, Anasuya means one who is free from envy. So she was such a great personality that these 3, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, they had to take birth through them. Similarly, Vasishtha and Arundhati also, there is so many stories about them. But Devahuti's children, they were married to different sages. And Prasuti's children, there were 16 daughters she had. 13 of them were married to Dharma Prajavati or Dharmadeva. One of them was married to Agnideva, fire god. One of them were married to the inhabitants of the Pitruloka. And the last girl, who was Sadidevi, was married to Lord Shiva, which was the first last daughter. Or Sadidevi was married to Lord Shiva. So 16, out of the 16 daughters, the 13 daughters who were married to Dharma Prajavali. Out of that 13 children, the eldest was Shraddha, and the last one was Murti. So the first 12 of them were different qualities, which you will see, the spiritual qualities personified, they appeared through them as their daughters. But the 13th girl who was married to Dharma Prajapati, from her appeared the Supreme Personality of Godhead in 2 forms. 2 forms he took it, Nara and Narayana. These 2 forms came, Narayana Rishi and Nara Rishi. So those 2 sages, they appeared, because they appeared through Murti. Murti is considered to have a very superior position in the spiritual hierarchy. In other words, through Murti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead decided to appear in the form of a sage, and that is Narayana Rishi and also Nara. Both of them were great, great sages. If you go through their history, you will notice that there is a lot of interesting things that has happened for Nara and Narayana. It is the same Nara who appeared as Arjuna, and Narayana is Krishna. So you can see how powerful they were, Nara and Narayana, the 2 great sages. Now, interesting thing about these 2 great personalities is that both Nara and Narayana, they were very, very much ahimsavadi. In other words, they were so non-violent that Narayana Rishi, even while performing his penances, he carried an instrument with him. And with that instrument, if even a small fly or an ant or anything climbed on the body by any reason, he will remove them without giving any pain to them with using this brush or this Jandumarjanam, as it is called, that instrument what he used to remove these flies and the small insects from his body. To such an extent, he was considerate to other living entities. That was Narayana Rishi's greatness. But even though it was like that, the same Narayana Rishi fought a war so vehemently, and lasting thousands and thousands of years. And if you know the reason why he fought that war, you will understand that his understanding of non-violence is different. On the one hand, he was so considerate to an insect. On the other hand, he had no consideration as far as killing a powerful demon was concerned. Sahasra Kavacham, that is what his name is. This story is not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but it is there in the other Puranas. Sahasra Kavacham was a very powerful demon who obtained a great strength by performing penances and austerities, and he became a very troublesome for the whole planet. At that time, Narayana Rishi and Nara Rishi, they decided to kill him. But he had 1,000 sheets in his body of armor. And if you have to break one of those sheets, you have to perform 1,000 years of penances. And then after 1,000 years of penances, you have to fight a war with him for another 1,000 years to break one of those sheets. So you can imagine, thousands of sheets he had. And to break all the sheets and to kill him was very, very difficult. So what Narayana Rishi and Nara Rishi did was that Nara Rishi will perform 1,000 years of penances. At the same time, Narayana Rishi will fight the war with Sahasra Kavacham. And when Narayana Rishi has finished 1,000 years of war fighting with him, he will break one of his sheath. And then he will come back and continue the penances when Nara will go and start the fighting for another 1,000 years. Like this, between Nara Rishi and Narayana Rishi, they continued this fight for thousands of years, and eventually they killed Sahasra Kavacham. Now, why this Sahasra Kavacham is so important is, it is this Sahasra Kavacha who comes as Karna in the Mahabharata war. That is his background. Karna's background is, Karna is the same demon, Sahasra Kavacha, who appeared as Karna later in the Mahabharata. So when Sahasra Kavacha came as Karna, and Nara came as Arjuna at the same time, so already they had a war between them before, even before they came into this Mahabharata scene. So from this you can see that the Sahasra Kavacham was a very great personality even in his earlier days. And going back a little bit more into his history, that when Ramachandra came to this world, Lord Ramachandra came to this world, probably you all know that in the Ramayana there's a great fight between Bali and Sugriva. So this Bali and Sugriva, who are they? Sugriva is actually nobody else, that he was a partial expansion of the sun god. And Bali was a partial expansion of Indra. So because they were partial expansions, and during the war, Lord Ramachandra killed Bali, taking the side of Sugriva, that Indra got upset about it, and because Indra's expansion was this Bali. So Indra complained about this to Lord Ramachandra, and Ramachandra guaranteed that when he appears as Krishna, he will reverse the whole show. And that is why when it came in the Mahabharata war, what happened was the same expansion of sun god, or the Vaivasvan's expansion, who came as Sugriva at that time in the Ramayana time, he appeared again through Kunti Devi as Karna. And Indra, who appeared as Bali, he appeared through Kunti Devi as Arjuna. So this time Krishna gave the guarantee to Indra that he will kill Karna, taking the side of Arjuna. That is why in the Mahabharata war you find that Krishna encouraged Arjuna to kill Karna. And in that battle, eventually Karna got killed. And this story goes back into Ramayana times and even before than that. So that is the history of that. Now our Narayana Rishi, as I said before, that he had this great quality in him, that he was very much, he strictly adhered to the non-violence, but at the same time, if it's necessary, he had no hesitation to take the arms and fight a war or kill anyone, if that is essential for the maintaining the religious principles. And that is why, in spite of all his following the Ahimsa principle, non-violent principle, so strongly, he decided to kill Sahasra Kavacha, fighting this war for thousands and thousands of years. And it is the same Narayana who came, who is Krishna himself, who came in the Mahabharata war, and without taking a weapon in the hand, performed such a massive war where 6.4 million people got killed. So that is Krishna. Krishna's way of doing things is sometimes difficult to understand. That Krishna's understanding of non-violence is different than our understanding of non-violence. When Krishna believes in non-violence, as far as Krishna is concerned, Krishna's principles, religious principles, has to be maintained. Otherwise, Krishna's non-violence has to act. Krishna does not care for that non-violent attitude. Krishna takes action when it's necessary. So, dating back to thousands and thousands of years, you can see through Ramayana and Mahabharata and the history prior to that, at different instances, Narayana Rishi has appeared in different ways to help and maintain the religious principles. So, Narayana, these two sages appeared through, as we saw before, appeared through Murti Devi. It is through Murti Devi that Dharma Prajapati's children, Narayana has appeared. Then, we have got, after the 13 girls, we have got Swaha. Swaha means, we will always chant Swaha when we offer things into the fire. Where does this Swaha come from? Swaha is nothing but, it is the daughter of the, it is one of the daughters out of Dasha Prajapati's who was married to the fire god. Fire god, we normally say fire, when we see with our blunt eyes, we see one fire. Fire is same everywhere, whether it is a fire which we see from the firewood or the fire that it comes from the comes from the oil field or gas field, it all looks to us the same fire. But that is not how fire is understood in the Vedic system. In the Vedic system, there are totally 49 fires. In other words, there are 49 demigods who are predominating the deities of the fire. So from Swaha, this daughter, three fires were born for Agnideva. She was married to the fire god, demigod Agni. And from there, three children were born, Pavanan, Pavamanan, and Shuchi. Those three, and from those three, another 45 fires were born, children. And 45 plus 3, 48 and 1, 49, that the 49 fires have come into existence. And these 49 fire gods, they come in different fire sacrifices. And depending on what sacrifice you perform, it is addressing to a particular fire god who takes the position of the acceptance of the offering. So that is a very elaborate subject. But what we have to remember is that this word Swaha has been used because she represented as the mother of all the fire gods. That is Swaha. And then there is Swaha. Swaha, Swaha and Washet. There are 1, 2, 3 like that. There are mantras which are related to that. And Swatha was married to the inhabitants of Pitaloka. Pitaloka, we have what is known as the inhabitants there. They are classified according to which sage they descend from. So depending on which sages, Bhrigu or Agastya or whoever it is, they are classified into four categories. Barhishwatar, Agnipa, Somapa and Ajapa. So there are different predominators of the Pitaloka. And they all together marry Swatha. And the last girl, who was Sadi Devi, was married to Lord Shiva. So these are the 16 daughters of Dasha Prajapati who were married to different personalities. Now, we see there that Kardama Prajapati's children, Kardama Prajapati's daughters, out of those daughters, Bhrigu married Khyadi. Bhrigu married one girl, Khyadi. And from Khyadi, he had a daughter by name Mahalakshmi. Mahalakshmi is his daughter. And this Mahalakshmi appeared while churning the milk ocean. That story comes in the 8th canto later. So this Mahalakshmi's appearance is mentioned there. Mahalakshmi is known in the Goloka as Sri Radhiya. Radharani and Mahalakshmi is the one and the same personality. When she wanted to enjoy with Krishna in the two-handed form, she maintains a two-handed form in the Goloka, and when she wants to associate with the Supreme Lord in the four-handed form in Vaikuntha planet, she appears as Mahalakshmi. So that is the relationship between Mahalakshmi and Sri Radhika. In the Goloka, she is Radharani, and in the Vaikuntha planet, she is Lakshmi. So like that. And from this, Bhrigu had other children also. He had another wife from whom two boys were born, who married Merudevi's two girls, Ayati and Yati and Ayati. And from that relationship, a great personality appeared, who is nobody else than Mrikandu. And Mrikandu was a person who appeared from one of those relationships of the daughter of Merudevi, of Merudevi, and also from Bhrigu. So from that relationship, Mrikandu has appeared, and it is the son of Mrikandu who is known as Markandeya. Markandeya was a great personality, a very, very powerful sage who comes in 12th canto at the end, very later. So Markandeya is one of those personalities. Why Markandeya is so important is, Markandeya is one personality who has managed to win over Maya. We all talk about Maya. Sometimes we think we are also out of Maya, but nobody is out of Maya. The personality who has succeeded in winning over Maya, in the Bhagavatam you will find Narayana Rishi teasing Markandeya with Maya and eventually make him realize what Maya is. And when he came to a realization, Maya's potency, Markandeya Rishi was in amazement. That story comes from the 12th canto. But this Markandeya Rishi, his story is a very, very well-known story. And in his, he was cursed to die at the age of 16. And unfortunately, Markandeya Rishi was a Markandeya Rishi was actually a very, very powerful brahmachari. So due to his strength of brahmacharya and due to his surrender to the Supreme Lord, that on the 16th day birthday, when his mother was serving the feast, Markandeya Rishi's mother was aware that that is the last birthday, she will serve the feast to him. So on that particular day, Markandeya's mother, when she was serving the feast, two drops of tears fell into the plate or to the leaf when she was serving the prasadam. Markandeya Rishi looked at his mother's face and asked about what was that was worrying her. And she mentioned to him that this will be the last feast she will serve him. As soon as he knew that death is imminent, Markandeya Rishi gave up his home and went to the Himalayas for performing penances. It's a very, very, very interesting and successful story of how he conquered death. And Narayana Rishi admiring and appreciating him for his success in spiritual life. All that is in the 12th canto. Narayana Rishi's ashram is known as Badri Ashram. And Vedavyasa Maharshi's ashram is known as Vyasa Ashram. Narayana Ashram and Vyasa Ashram are not very much, it's got only very short distance between the two. These two ashrams are both in Badrinath. So Narayana Rishi performs penances there, Vedavyasa Maharshi also performs penances in Badrinath. So Markandeya Rishi has got a benediction that he will never die. Therefore he is known as Chiranjeevi. He is one of the eight powerful personalities who never has to change their body again. That got their body in such a way that they are known as, they have no death attached to them. All of us have to change our bodies, 8.4 million and plus more, whatever we have to do. But for them, these eight personalities mentioned in the Mahabharata and Ramayana, namely, you have Vibhishana. He is considered to be a personality for living forever. Anjaneya or Hanuman is a personality who lives forever. Kripacharya, Ashwatthama, Parashuram, Vedavyas, Markandeya. Like that, there are eight personalities who never change their bodies. They can live forever in their body. So that is their powerful position they are in. Due to their austerities and penances, they have attained that special status. So that is that story. And then in the also you will find from Pulastya. Pulastya married one of the girls known as Havirbhu. And from the Havirbhu, two personalities appeared, Agastya and also Vishavas. These two personalities. Pulastya is known as the ancestor of all the Rakshasas. Rakshasa race comes from Pulastya, this age. Like Ravana, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishana, they are all Rakshasas. Kubera is a Yaksha. So he had two families. From Idavida, one girl, he had this son known as Kubera, who became the treasurer. And also, we have got Ravana, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishana born out of another wife, and they became Rakshasa. That Rakshasa race come from Pulastya, like that. Now, Agastya, who appeared along with Vishravas, all at the same time, he became a great sage. Agastya became a great sage. Agastya and Vasishta, they are brothers. They had to accept a body in such a way at one time, Although they were individuals separately before, at one time, due to a curse by Nimi, King Nimi, Nimi cursed him, and Vasishtha had to take birth. And similarly, Agastya was also cursed, and Agastya was cursed by Indra, and Agastya had to accept a body along with Vasishtha in from a pot, and they took birth from there. And because they took from one birth together from the same pot, they had to accept a body in such a way that they were known as brothers, Agastya and Vasishtha. Vasishtha is very well known sage. Throughout Ramayana you will find that Lord Ramchandra's absence from Ayodhya, Vasishtha managed the affairs. Vasishtha also wrote very, very famous books on spiritual life, namely Yoga Vasishtam. Very well known book, Vasishtha Maharshi's literature, Yoga Vasishtam he compiled. And Vasishtha Maharshi particularly managed the whole time when Lord Ramchandra was back after killing Ravana, when he came back. It is Vasishtha Maharshi who performed all the ceremonies to install him as the king. So Vasishtha is there. Agastya Maharshi's story comes again later on eighth canto, when we will talk about the King Indradyumna story. At that time Agastya Maharshi comes in and his powerful activity. So all these great sages, they all have come from different branches of Devahuti Devi and also from Prasuti Devi. Prasuti Devi and Devahuti Devi, they are their original mothers from whom their daughters, these great sages, appeared or they married and the children were born from that. So like this, that parampara continues. And it is this story that we are going to read again and again in the 4th, 5th, 6th canto and 7th canto and so on and so forth. So what is interesting here is that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, all these personalities are telling us certain things, that they have something to instruct us. That is why we read them seriously. And from their life and from their experiences, one who reads Srimad Bhagavatam can get some valuable understanding on spiritual matters, how things can go wrong in spiritual life, and how they overcame that difficulties what they have experienced in their own spiritual life. No doubt about it that they were all very strong persons, that they had such a great determination in performing austerities and penances, and they were able to perform such wonderful things that even one cannot imagine in today's world if one could execute such activities. But these are times from Kriyugam, and the people had that strength in their and determination in spiritual life. So they were, to that degree, they were more powerful than us. We are considered to be, although we say that modern medicine, we have increased our lifespan and we have improved our health and this and that. But when you read Srimad Bhagavatam and Ramayana and all, it doesn't appear like that. All it gives us impression that we have become really miserable, and actually our health is in the most in the worst condition today than any time before, considering the austerities and penances they were able to perform and the austerities we are able to perform today. So it's a good comparison of the life and the times they lived, and the life and the times we live today. And by comparing, we can understand the glories of the past times, like for the Yugam and Tridayugam, compared to the glorious Kali Yugam. So that's that. So Dashaprajapati we were talking about. Dashaprajapati was experiencing, decided that Lord Shiva decided to punish him. And we stopped there last time. So I'll just read that chapter before we go into the story of Dhruva Maharaj.
Maharaj, is there any glorious person or glorious Devi is born now in this book or in your past?
What do you mean?
Then is there anybody now in this world or in this universe? This story what you were telling is all past.
Yes.
That they were all there.
Well, all these personalities who appeared in the past, they have appeared at different times, and today they are all still there. Only thing, we don't have a relation connection with them. They all still exist. Krishna is still there and Ramchandra is still there, but we are not able to associate with them because they have completed their pastimes and returned back to the spiritual world. Now, if you, as far as the the Vedic times goes, then as much as the different incarnations, what it is presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam at different times, that there are more incarnations going to happen later on at the end of Kali Yuga when Kalki appears. And again, this whole cycle repeats one after the other. Now, whatever is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you go by the Bhagavatam, that Bhagavatam, different incarnations of Krishna, the major 10 incarnations and the minor incarnations, they have already appeared and gone. And so therefore we have to assume that those Bhagavatam incarnations are not present at the moment as it is today. None of the personalities mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
So you can define Siddha from thousands and thousands of years back. Now he is or she is present.
They are all present, but it really depends on our... Like most of the demigods who are mentioned, they are all present there. But unfortunately we are not in a position to be in touch with them because we don't have the knowledge of the of developing that relationship with them. Prabhupada, yes. There are so many great saintly personalities still in this world. Yes, there is no doubt about it. I'm talking about incarnations which you are asking. There is no incarnations mentioned in the Bhagavatam present there at the moment. Great, so saintly personalities are always there in this world. There will always be.
Shri Maitreya Vaja, Bhavo Bhavanyani Dhanam Prajapati. അസൽകൃതയാമവഗമ്യ നാരദാൽ സ്വപാർഷദ സൈന്യജതദ്ധുരർബുധിർ വിദ്രാവിധം ക്രോധമപാരമാധനേ ക്രുദ്ധസുദഷ്ടോഷ്ടകുടസ്തദൂർജടിർ ജടാം തടിഭ്വന്യസടോ അഗ്രരോചിഷാം ഉൽക്രതിരുദ്രസഹസോത്ഥിതോ ഹസൻ ഗംഭീരനാദോ വിസസർജതാം ഭുവി തദോദിഗായ സ്തനുവാ സ്പൃശന്തിവം സഹസ്രബാഹുർഘനൈരുപ്രസൂര്യദൃക് കരാളദംഷ്ടോജ്വലദഗ്നിമോർധജ കപാലമാലി വിവിധോദ്ധ്യതായുധാഃ തംഹ്യം കരോമീതി പ്രണന്ദമഃ ബദ്ധാഞ്ജലിം ഭഗവാൻ ഭൂതനാഥ ദക്ഷംസയജ്ഞം ജഹിമൽഭടാനാം ത്വമഗ്രണീ രുദ്രപടാം ശകോമി ആജ്ഞപ്തമേവം കുപിതേന മന്യനാം സദേവ ദേവം വരിചക്രമേ വിഭം മേനേ തദാത്മാനമസങ്കരം ഹസ മഹീയസാം താത സഹസഹിഷ്ണം അന്വീയമാനസുദരുദ്രപാർഷദേർ വൃഷംനഭവ്യവിതനേർ സുഭൈരവം ഉദ്യമ്യശൂലം ജഗദന്തകാന്തകം സഭ്രാദ്രവൽഘോഷണഭൂഷണാംഗ്രി അധർത്തിജോ യജമാനഃ സദസ്യ കോപ്യരിജ്യം പ്രസമീക്ഷരേണം തമക്കിമേതൽകുലമേതദ്രജോഭൂദ്വിജാദ്വിജവജ്ഞശ്ചദ്യൂ വാതാനവാന്തി നഹി സന്ധിതസ്യ വാ പ്രാചീന ബർഹിർജീവലി ഹുഗ്രദണ്ഡാഹ ഗാവോ ന കാല്യന്തമിതം കുതോ രജോ ലോകോധനം കിം പ്രളയായ കൽപ്പനേ പ്രസൂതിമിശ്രാം ശ്രിയമുദ്വിഗ്നചിത്ത ഊജുർവിഭാഗോ ഭജനസ്യ ഇഷതസ്യ യൽപശ്യന്തീനാം ദുഹതൃണാം പ്രജേശസുതാം സദീമാം അവദദ്യാവനാഗാം യസ്വന്തകാലേ വ്യക്തജടാകലാപം സ്വശൂലസൂച്യ അർപ്പിതദിഗ്ഗജേന്ദ്ര വിദത്ത നൃത്യത്യസ്ത്രോർധ്വജാഃ ഉച്ചാട്ടഹാസസ്തനയത്നഭിന്നവി അമർഷയിത്വാ തമസഹ്യതേജസം അനുപ്ലദം ദുർവിഷഹം മൃഗത്യാം കരാളരംഷ്ടാവിരുദസ്തഭാഗനം സ്യാൽ സ്വസ്തികിം കോപയതോ വിധാതും ബഹുരകമുദ്ദിഗ്നദശോച്യമാണേ ജനേന ദക്ഷസിംഹുർമഹാത്മന ഉൽപേദുരുൽപാദനമാ സഹസ്രശോ ഭയാവഹാദിഭൂമൗചമര്യൻ താവത്സരുദ്രാജയർമഖോ മഹാൻ ആനായുധ നാനായുധൈർ വാമനകൈരുധായുധൈ പിംഗൈ പിശങ്കൈർ മകരോദരാനനൈ പര്യാദ്രവൽഭ്യ വിദുരാനുരുദ്ധ്യതാം കേചിദ്ഭവജ്ഞോപാങ്കുശം പത്നിശാലാം തദാപരേ സദമാഗ്നീദ്രശാലാം ച തദ്വിഹാരം മഹാനസം തരുരുജ്ഞവാത്രാണി തദീയജ്ഞീനാശയം കുണ്ടേഷമൂത്രയം വിദുർഭേദി മേഖലാഃ അഭോദന്തമുനീനമേകേ പത്നീരവർജയൻ അപരേജുഗൃഹുർദേവാൻ പ്രത്യാസനാൻ പലായുധാൻ ഭൃഗുംബമന്ധമണിമാൻ വീരഭദ്ര പ്രജാപതിം ചണ്ഡീശഭൂഷണം ദേവം ഭഗം നന്ദീശ്വരോ ഗ്രഹീൽ സർവമേവർത്തിജോ ദൃഷ്ട്വാ സദസ്യാ സതിവൗഗസ തൈരധ്യമാന സുവൃഷം ജാവഭിർമേകദാധ്രവൻ ജുഹ്വദസ്വ സഹസ്തസ്യ ശുശ്രുണീ ഭഗവാൻ ഭവ ഭൃഗോ മൃദുഞ്ജേ സദസി യോഹസ്മശ്രുദർശയൻ ഭഗസ്യ നേത്രേ ഭഗവാൻ പാദിതസ്തിരുഷാ ഭുവി ഉജഹാര സദസ്താഷ്ണ യശവന്ദന സൂജയൽ പുഷ്ണശ്ചാവാദയദണ്ഡൻ കാലിംഗസ്യ യഥാഫല ശപ്യമാനേ ഗരിമണി യോഹ സദർശയൻ ധദാ ആക്രമ്യോരസി ദക്ഷസ്യ ശിരധാരേണ ഹേതിനാം ಚಿಂತನ್ನಭಿತುದ್ಧರ್ಥಂ ನಾಶಕ್ನೋತ್ರಂಬಲಸ್ತದ ಶಸ್ತ್ರೈರಸ್ತ್ರಾಣಿ ದೇದೈವ ಮನಿರ್ಭಿನ್ನತ್ವಜಂ ಹರ ವಿಸ್ಮಯಂ ಪರಮಾವನ್ನೋ ದಧ್ಯೋ ಪಶುಪತಿಶ್ಚಿರಂ ದೃಷ್ಟ್ವಾ ಸಂಯಮನಂ ಯೋಗಂ ಪಶೂನಾಂ ಸಪದಿರ್ಮಲೇ ಸಪದಿರ್ಮಖೇ ಯಜಮಾನ ವಶೋ ಕಸ್ಯ ಕಾಯಾ ತೇನ ಹರಚಿರ ಸಾಧು ವಾದಸ್ತರಾದೇಶಾಂ ಕರ್ಮತಂತಸ್ಯ ಶಂ ಸದಾ ಭೂತ ಪ್ರೇದವಿಷಾಯಾನಾಮನ್ಯೇಷಾಂ ತದ್ವಿಭಜೇಯ ಜುಹಾವೈರಚಿರಸ್ತಸ್ಮಿನ್ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾತ್ಮಾವಮರ್ಷಿರ ತದ್ದೇವೈಜನಂ ದದ್ವಾ ಪ್ರಾತಿಷ್ಠನ್ ಗುಹ್ಯಗಾಲಯಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೇ ಮಹಾಪುರಾಣೇ ಚತುರ್ಥ ಸ್ಕಂದೇ ದಕ್ಷಯಜ್ಞ ವಿಧ್ವಂಸೋ ನಾಮ ಪಂಚಮೋಧ್ಯಾಯ ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಒನ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಬೇಸಿಕಲಿ ಜಿ ಸತೀದೇವಿ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಅಪ್ ಹರ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಶಿ ಹಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಅಪ್ ಹರ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ನಾರದ ಮುನಿ ರಿಪೋರ್ಟೆಡ್ ದಿ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ ಟು ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಶಿವ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಆಂಗರ್ ಹಿ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ವೀರಭದ್ರ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೀರಭದ್ರ ವಾಸ್ ರಿಕ್ವೆಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಗೋ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕಿಲ್ ದಕ್ಷ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಫಿಫ್ತ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಶ್ರೀರಾಜಾರ್ಯ ಸ್ವಾಮೀಜಿ ಸೈಸ್ ಪಂಚಮೇದು ಸದೀತ್ಯಹಂ ತ್ಯಾಗಮ ಆಕರ್ಣೇ ಶಂಕರ ವೀರಭದ್ರಂ ಮೃಷೋ ಅಲ್ಪಾಧ್ಯಂ ತೇನ ದಕ್ಷ ಮಖಾದಯಲ್ ಸೊ ದಕ್ಷ ವಾಸ್ ಕಿಲ್ ಬೈ ವೀರಭದ್ರ ವೀರಭದ್ರ ಕೇಮ್ ದೇರ್ ಟು ದ ಸೀನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸ್ಯಾಕ್ರಿಫೈಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಗೋಸ್ ಟು ಕೈಲಾಸ್ ಟು ಸೀ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಶಿವ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ರಿಕ್ವೆಸ್ಟ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಟು ಕಮ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಟು ಬ್ರಿಂಗ್ ದಕ್ಷ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಟು ಲೈಫ್ ಶ್ರೀಮೈ ತ್ರೈವಾಜ ಅಥ ದೇವಗಣಾ ಸರ್ವೇ ರುದ್ರಾನೀಗೈ ಪರಾಜಿತ ಶೂಲಭಟನಿ ಶಸ್ತ್ರಂಶ ಗದಾ ಅಪರಿಯಮುದ್ಧರೈ ಸಂ ಛಿನ್ನ ಭಿನ್ನ ಸರ್ವಾಂಗ ಸತ್ವಿಕ್ ಸಭ್ಯಾಭಯಾಕುಲ ಸ್ವಯಂಭುವೇ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ಕಾಸ್ನ್ಯೇ ನೈತನ್ಯ ವೇದಯನ್ ಉಪಲಭ್ಯಪುರೈ ವೇದಲ್ ಭಗವಾನಬ್ಜ ಸಂಭವ ನಾರಾಯಣಶ್ಚ ವಿಶ್ವಾತ್ಮ ನಗುಸ್ಯಾಧರಮೀಯದು ತದಾಕರ್ಣ ವಿಪ್ರಾಹಂ ತೇಜೀಯಸಿ ಕೃದಾಸಿ ಕ್ಷೇಮಾಯ ತತ್ರ ಸಾ ಭೂಯಂ ನ ಪ್ರಾಯಣ ಬುಭೂಷದಾಂ ಅಧಾಭಿಯೂಯಂ ಕೃತಗಿಲ್ಬುಷಾಭವಂ ಯೇ ಬರ್ಹಿಷೋ ಭಾಗವತಜಂ ಪರಾದು ಪ್ರಸಾದ ಯದ್ವಂ ಪರಿಶುದ್ಧ ಜೇತಸಾ ಕ್ಷಿಪ್ರಪ್ರಸಾದಂ ಪ್ರಗೃಹೀತಾಂ ವಿವಲ್ಪಂ ಆಶಾಸಾನಾಂ ಜೀತಮಧ್ವರಸ್ಯ ಯೋಗಸ್ಸ ಬಾಲಾಕುಬಿದೇನ ಯಸ್ಮಿನ್ ತಮ ಆಶುದೇವಂ ಪ್ರಿಯ ವಿಹೀನಂ ಕ್ಷಮಾಪಯದ್ವಂ ಹೃದಿವಿದ್ಧಂ ದುರುಕ್ತೈ ನಾಹಂ ನ ಯಜ್ಞೋ ನ ಜೀವಯಮನ್ಯೇ ಯೇ ದೇಹವಾಜೋ ಮನೇಶ್ಚ ತತ್ವಂ ವಿದು ಪ್ರಮಾಣಂ ಬಲವೀರ್ಯಯೋ ವಾ ಯಸ್ಯಾಲ್ಪತಂದ್ರಸ್ಯ ಕಮುಭಾಯಂ ವಿಧಿಲ್ಸೇಲ್ ಸೈತ್ಥಮಾದೇಶ ಸುರಾಣಜಸ್ತೈ ಸಮನ್ಯುರಪ್ಪಿತಮೈಸ್ತ ಪ್ರದೇಶೈ ಯಯೌ ಸುಧಿಷ್ಣಾನ್ನಿಲಯಂ ಪುರದ್ವಿಷ ಕೈಲಾಸಮದ್ರಿ ಪ್ರವರಂ ಪ್ರಿಯಂ ಪ್ರಭೋ ಜನ್ಮ ಔಷಧಿ ತಪೋ ಮಂದ್ರಯೋಗ ಸಿದ್ಧೇರ್ ನರೇಂದ್ರೈ ದುಷ್ಟಂ ಕಿಂದ್ರ ಗಂಧರ್ವೈ ಅಪ್ಸರೋಭಿರ್ಮೃತಂ ಸದಾ ನಾನಾಮಣಿಮಯೇ ಶೃಂಗೇರ್ ನಾನಾ ಧಾತು ವಿಚಿತ್ರತೈ ನಾನಾ ಧ್ರುವಲ ದಾಗುಲ್ಭೇರ್ ನಾನಾಮಗ ಗಣಾಮೃತೈ ನಾನಾಮಲ ಪ್ರಸರಣೈ ನಾನಾ ಆಕಂದ್ರ ಸಾನಿಧಿ ರಮಣಂ ವಿಹರಂದೀನಾಂ ರಮಣೈ ಸಿದ್ಧಯೋಷಿತಾಂ ಮಯೂರಗೇಗಾಭಿರುದಂ ಮದಾಂ ಧಾಳಿ ವಿಮೋಚಿತಂ ಪ್ಲಾವಿದೈ ರಕ್ತಗಂಧಾನಾಂ ಕುಜಿರೈಶ್ಚ ಪದತ್ರಿಣಾಂ ಆಹ್ವಯಂತಂ ಯೋಧಸ್ತೇರ್ ದ್ವಿಜಾನ್ ಕಾಮದುಃಖೇ ದ್ರುಮೈ ಪ್ರಚಂದಮಿವ ಮಾತಂಗೇ ಪ್ರಣಂದಮಿವ ನರ್ಜರೈ ಮಂದಾರೈ ಪಾರಿಜಾತಿಶ್ಚ ಸರಳೈಶ್ಚೋಭಶೋಭಿತಂ ತಮಾಲೈಶಾಲದಾಲೈಶ್ಚ ಕೋವಿದಾರಾಸನ ಅರ್ಜುನೈ ಚೂದೈ ಕದಂಬೈರ್ ನೀಪೈಶ್ಚ ನಾಗಮುನ್ನಾಗಚಂಬಕೈ ಪಾಟಲಾ ಅಶೋಕಕವಳೈ ಕುಂದೈ ಕುರವಗೈರಭಿ ಸ್ವರ್ಣಾರ್ಣಶತಪತ್ರೈಶ್ಚ ವರರೇಣುಗಜಾದಿಭಿ ಕುಬ್ಜಗೈರ್ ಮಲ್ಲಿಗಾಭಿಶ್ಚ ಮಾಧವೀಭಿಶ್ಚ ಮಂಡಿತಂ ಮನಸೋದುಂಬರಾಶ್ರುತ ಪ್ಲಕ್ಷಣ್ಯಗ್ರೋದಹಿಂಭುವಿ ಭೋಜೈರೋಷಧಿ ವಿಭೋಗೈ ರಾಜಭೋಗೈಶ್ಚ ಜಂಭುವಿ ಧರ್ಜುರಾಮ್ರಾಧಕಾಮ್ರಾದೇ ಪ್ರಿಯಾಳ ಮಧುಗೇ ಹಿಂಗುದೈ ಧ್ರುಮಜಾತಿರಣ್ಯೈಶ್ಚಾರಾಜಿತಂಬೇಣುಗೀಚಗೈ ಕುಮುದೋಲ್ಪಲ್ಹಾರಂ ಶತವತ್ರವನರ್ಧಿವಿ ನಲಿನೀಶುಗಳಂ ಕೂಜಲ್ ಖಗ ವೃಂದೋವಶೋಭಿತಂ ಮೃಗೈ ಶಾಖಾ ಮೃಗೈ ಕ್ರೋಢೇ ಮೃಗೇಂದ್ರೈ ಹೃಷಶಲ್ಯೇ ಗವೈ ಶರಭೈರ್ ವ್ಯಾಖ್ರೈರುಡುಭೈರ್ ಮಹಿಷಾದಿವಿ ಕರ್ಣಾಂಧ್ರಗೈ ಪದಾಶ್ರಯಸ್ಯ ನರ್ಜುಷ್ಟ ಮೃಗನಾಭಿವಿ ಕದಲಿ ಷಂಡ ಸಮೃದ್ಧಂ ನಲಿನಿ ಪುಣ್ಯಶ್ರೇಯಂ ಪರಸ್ವರ್ಯ ಸಂಬಂಧಯ ಸತ್ಯ ಸ್ನಾನ ಪುಣ್ಯವಿರೋಧಯ ವಿಲೋಕ್ಯ ಭೂದೇಶಗಿರಿಯಂ ವಿಭುಧ ವಿಸ್ಮಯಂ ಯೇಯೋ ದದುಷ್ಟು ಸ್ತತ್ರದೇ ರಮ್ಯಾಲಗಂ ನಾಮ ವೈ ಪುರಿಂ ಮನಂ ಸೌಗಲ್ಯಾಂ ಚ ವೈ ಯತ್ರ ತಂ ನಾಮ ಪಂಕಜಂ ನಂದಾಜಾಲಗ ನಂದಾಜ ಸರಿದೋ ಬಾಹ್ಯದ ಪುರ ತೀರ್ಥಪಾದಪದಾಂ ಭಜರಜಸಾದೀವ ಭಾವನೆ ಧಯೋ ಸುರ ಸ್ತ್ರೀ ಅಕ್ಷತ್ರ ವರುಹ್ಯ ಸುಧೀಷ್ಣಿರ ಕ್ರೀಡಂ ದೀಪಂ ಸುಸಿಂಚನ್ಯೋ ವಿಗಾಹ್ಯರಧಿಕರ್ಷಿತ ಯಯೋ ಸ್ಥಲ ಸ್ನಾನ ವಿಭ್ರಷ್ಟಂ ನೋ ಕುಂಕುಮ ಪಿಂಚನಂ ವಿದುಷೋ ವಿಪಂಧ್ಯಂ ಅಪಾಯಂತೋ ಗಜಾದಿ ತಾರಹೇಯ ಮಹಾರತ್ನ ವಿಮಾನ ಶತ ಸಂಗುಲಂ ದುಷ್ಟಾಂ ಪುಣ್ಯಜನ ಸ್ತ್ರೀ ವೀರ್ಯಧಾಥಂ ಸದಟಿಧನಂ ಹಿತ್ವಾ ಯಕ್ಷೇಶ್ವರ ವಿಮನಂ ಸೌಗಂಧಿಕಂ ಜಲ ಧ್ರೂಮೈ ಕಾಮಲುಗೇನ ಹೃದ್ಯಂ ಚಿತ್ರಮಾಲ್ಯ ಫಲಚ್ಚದೈ ರಕ್ತಕಂಡಕಾನೀಗಂ ಸುರಮಂಡಿತ ಶಲ್ಪದಂ ಕಲಹಂ ಸಮರ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಟಂ ಖರದಂಡ ಜಲಾಶಯಂ ವನಕುಂಜುರ ಸಂಪೃಷ್ಟಂ ಹರಿಚಂದನವಾಯಿನಾಂ ಅತಿಪುಣ್ಯಜನ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಮುಹುರುನ್ಮುನ್ನ ಭಯನ್ ಮನ ಬಹುವಿರಕೃತ ಸೋಮಾನಂ ವಾಪಿ ಉಲ್ಪಲಮಾಲಿನಿ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತಂ ಕಿಂಪುರುಷೇ ದೃಷ್ಟ್ವಾ ಆತಮ ಆರಾಧ ದೃಶುರ್ವಣಂ ಸ ಯೋಜನಾ ಶತೋಸೇದ ಪಾದೋ ಅನುಮಿತವಾಯದ ಪರ್ಯಕೃತ ಜಲಚ್ಛಾಯೋ ನದ್ನೀರ ಸ್ಥಾಪವರ್ಜಿತಾಃ ತಸ್ಮಿನ್ ಮಹಾಯೋಗಮಯೀ ಮುಮುಕ್ಷು ಶಕಣೇಸುರ ದೃಶಿ ಸುರಮಾಸೀನಂ ತ್ಯಕ್ತಾಮರ್ಷಮಿವಾಂಧಕಂ ಸನಂದನಾದ್ಯರ್ಮಹಸ ಮಹಾಸಿದ್ಧೈ ಶಾಂತೈ ಸಂಶಾಂತ ವಿಗ್ರಹಂ ಉಪಾಸ್ಯಮಾನಂ ಸಂಖ್ಯಾ ಚ ಭರ್ತ್ರಾ ಗುಹ್ಯ ರಕ್ಷಸಾಂ ವಿದ್ಯಾ ಅಥಪಯೋಗವದಂ ಆಸ್ತಿತಂ ನಮದೀಶ್ವರಂ ಚಗಂದಂ ನಿಶ್ಯಸೂತಂ ವಾತ್ಸಲ್ಯೋ ಲೋಕಮಂಗಳಂ ಲಿಂಗಂ ಚ ತಾಪಸಾಧೀಷ್ಟಂ ಭಸ್ಮದಂಡ ಜಡಾಜಿನಂ ಅಂಗೇನ ಸಂಧ್ಯಾ ಅಭ್ಯರುಜಂ ಚಂದ್ರಲೇಖಾ ಚ ವಿಭ್ರದಂ ഉപവിഷ്ടം ദർഭമയ്യാം ഭൃസ്യാം ബ്രഹ്മസനാദനം നാരദായ പ്രവോചന്തം പൃച്ഛതേ ശൃണുതാം സദാം കൃത്വരോ ദക്ഷിണേ സവ്യം പാദവൽപം ജാനീ പ്രാഹും പ്രകോഷ്ഠേ അക്ഷമാല ആസീനം തർക്കമുദ്രയാം തം ബ്രഹ്മ നിർവാണ സമാധിമാശദം ഉപാശദം ഗീശം യോഗവക്ഷാം സലോകബാലാമുനയോ മനൂനം ആദ്യം മനും പ്രാഞ്ജലയ പ്രണയമോ തദ്ഉപലഭ്യകരമാൽപ്പയോനിയം സുരാ സുരേശേ അഭിവന്ദിതാംഗ്രി ഉത്ഥായ ചക്രേ ശിരസാഭിവന്ദനം മഹത്തമ കസയ ദൈവ വിഷ്ണു തഥാപരേ സിദ്ധഗണാ മഹർഷി ഏവൈ സമന്താദനനീലോഹിതം നമസ്കൃത പ്രാശശാംഗ ശേഖരം കൃത പ്രണാമം പ്രസന്നിവാത്മഭൂ ബ്രഹ്മവാച ജാനേ ത്വാമീശം വിശ്വസ്യ ജഗതോ യോനി ബീജയോ ശക്തേ ശിവസ്യ ച വരമ്യത്തൽ ബ്രഹ്മനിരന്തരം ത്വമേവഗവന്നീതം ശിവശക്തിയോ സ്വരൂപയോ വിശ്വം സ്രസിവാത്സ്യസി കീടം ഊർണപടോ യഥാ ത്വമേവ ധർമാർത്ഥം ഉപാഭിവത്തയേ ദക്ഷേണ സൂത്രേണ സഹർജിതാധ്വനം ത്വയൈവ ലോകേ വസിതാശ്ചസേ തമോയാം ബ്രാഹ്മണാ ശ്രദ്ധതേ ധൃതവ്രതാഃ ത്വം കർമ്മണാം മംഗളമംഗളാനാം കർത്തസ്മരോഗം മനുഷ്യേസ്വരം വ അമംഗളാനാം ജനമിശ്രമുൽപണം വിപരേ കേന തദേവ കസ്യജൽ നവേ സദാം ത്വച്ചരണാർപ്പിതാൽപനാം ഭൂതേഷു സർവേഷപി പശ്യതാം തഥാ ഭൂതാനി ചാത്മന്യ പ്രദഗ്ധദൃക്ഷതാം പ്രായണേഷോഭിമവേദ്യതാ പശും പ്രദഗ്ധീയ കർമ്മദോഷോ ദുരാശയ പരോദയേന അർപ്പിതഹൃദ്രജോനിശാം പരാന്തുരുത്തരുതന്തിരുന്നതാ സ്താന്മാവതി ദൈവവധാൻ ഭവദ്വിത യസ്മിന്യദാ പുഷ്കരനാഭമായ ദുരന്തയാ സ്പൃഷ്ടനീയാ പുതകൃഷ കുർവന്നിതത്ര ഹനുകമ്പയാ കൃപാം സസാധവോ ദൈവബലാൽകൃതേ ക്രമം ുഹീതാശുമനിയോസ്വനാ യേശ തേരുദ്രവാഗോസ്തു ചിഷ്ടോധ്വരസ്യ വൈ യജ്ഞസ്തേരുദ്രവാഗേന കൽപദാമദ്ദേയജ്ഞഹൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാപുരാണേ ചതുർത്ഥസ്കന്ധേ രുദ്രസാന്ത്വനം നാമ ഷഷ്ടോധ്യായം. സോ ഇൻ ദിസ് സിക്സ്ത് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഓഫ് ദി ഫോർത്ത് കാൻറ്റോ ദാറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് വാസ് ബ്രഹ്മസ് പ്രേയേഴ്സ് ടു ലോർഡ് ശിവ ആൻഡ് ലോർഡ് ശിവ ഡിസൈഡഡ് ടു കം ടു ദി സാക്രിഫിഷ്യൽ സീൻ and the prayers of Brahma to Lord Shiva is mentioned in that. This is what we mentioned before, that this prayers of Lord Brahma to Shiva is known as Shri Rudram. Shri Rudram is actually a part of the Vedas, glorification of the Lord Shiva. And the same has been used in the Shrimad Bhagavatam also while Brahma was praying to Lord Shiva. And in the seventh chapter of the last chapter on the Daksha story, we find that Daksha was brought back to life and all the great personalities who came there in that scene glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shri Maitreya Vaja Iti Jainani Nirena Bhavena Paridushara Abhidai Mahavaho Prasvishvayadamidi Shri Mahadeva Vaja Naham Prajeshavaranam Varnayinani Chille Devamaya Bhudanam Dandastatranadomaya Pajapadirdanda Shishno Bhavattu Yumakham Shira Mitrasa Yakshushe Kshedha Bhagam Sundarhisho Bhaga ഭൂഷാദേജമാനസ്യാദ്യക്ഷതവിഷ്ടവും ദേവോപ്രദസർവാംഗായമുച്ചേഷണം ദദു ബഹുദ്യാമശ്വിനോ പുഷ്ണാം ഹസ്താഭ്യാം കൃതവാഹവ ഭവന്തദ്വിദ്യവശ്ചാന്യേ ഭസ്തശ്മശോ ഭദ്രഭവേൽ ശ്രീ മൈത്രേയ വാച തദാ സർവാണി ഭൂതാനി ശ്രുത്വാ മേരുഷമോദിതം പരിദുഷ്ടാത്മാഭിസാദ സാധിത്വതാ ഭവൻ തദോമീഭവ സമാമന്ത്രം ശിനാസീരാ സഹർഷിവീ ഭൂയസ്തദ്ദേവജനം സമീദ്വദ്ദേ സോയയോ ഇതായ കാഷ്ണീയ ജനദ verses, you will find a lot of words related to the sacrifice, like the goat's head, which was taken by Veerabhadra and handed over to put it on the head of Dasha's head, which was gone. What is known as the Savaniya Pashu. Savaniya Pashu means it's the animal that has been sacrificed in that particular sacrifice. So Savaniya Pashu, that is what it refers to. That Sandhiyamani Sandandu Kasegayena Savaniya Pashu Shira Sandhiyamani Shira Siddhachur Grabi Vichira Sadhya Suktaivo Tasto Dadrashe Chagradomanam Tadavushadvajadesha Kalilalma Prajavali Shivavaloga Bhava Chadradraivamalam In 3 verses, Daksha apologized. As soon as he got his life back, he apologized to to Lord Shiva in three verses. Bhuyana nigrahamaho bhavadau kradomi dandasvayama idudoyada vipralabdha na brahma bandhushajavam bhagavanna vajnatubhyam haresha kutami evadradabhradeshu vidyatabo vradadaran mugadastu vipran dhamma atmadatumaidam pranamantumasrat tad brahmanan paramasarvival suvasipala pashuhuni vibho prabhidadanda Yosomaya Vidatunasha Sabayam, Shito, Vishigay Aganaya, Aganayanam, Arvapadanam, Hartam in the Yabal, Prishtar, Dreyas, Padawan, Sodena Tushal, Sri Maitrevaja, Shama Payam, Samidhan, Sambramana, Janamandrida, Karma Sandani, Amasa, Sobadia, and the Tigarabi, Vaishnavanikasan, the Tigavaram, the Jotama, Puron, Asham Nirvabin, Yasam Sardashadhe, Adurina, Mahisham, Javan, Sham, Bale, the Avishadhea, the Jopada, Padravodhari. Tada Sopravaya Desham, Yodayam Yadisho, Desha, Ushnam Stajum Vani, the Starshina Sotravajina Shamo Hiranirashano, Peter Justo Nira, like a Brahmakundi the Kundalasia, Kamba Jashaka Chakra Shaka, the Dasi Jamagre, Hiran Mayuja Iriva Karnigara, Watchasari Shadwadu Manamaludaram, Hasava Logavalayaram, Yamshavisham, Parsha Brahmandina Jamar Raja Hamsa, Shveda the Vatrashishan over it and Jamanam. Samubhagadamanashya sarve suraganaraya pranayam sakasothaya brahmendra trakshanaya tatejasa harerja sanna jihvasa sadhvasa mudhra akudanyali vada upadasthura dorshanyam apyargva urte yoyasyam hitvat pabhuvadaya yathamanikranam nisma kudani gravigraham dakshogrihidakana sadhanottamam yishiram yishasajam param guryam sunamna namjadunayir budammuda kranan pravede praedakradanyali dakshavaja shuddham sudanyavradagila budhyavastam Chinmatramayam, Prashidhyamayam, Tishtam Stayam, Purushatum Vedi, the Siamasti, Pavana, Prashidam, Yvatmadam, Ram, Kirtijahuju, Tatum Nadevayam, and Engine Udrashaval, Karman Nevagrahadio, Bhagavan Vidama, Tarmovashanam, Tudadvarakim, Yadam, Yadatamadi, Yamadoviavastaha, Sadhusyuju, Patitanisharan, Replace or Gendu, Durge, Endagogra, Vyala, and Ste, Vishim Ragarashtatmagi, Hurubhara, Tunda Shobre, Karamagi, Shogada, Vitasata, Padu, the Stisharanam. Sharanakada Yadi Kamo Basashta, Sri Rudravaja, Tava Varada Varanga, Ashishe, Hakilati, Abimuni Verasakte, Adari and Arhani, Edirajita Diamna, Vidyaloga, Oba with them, Javadinaganae, the 12 Paranugahena, Briguruaja, in Maya, Ganea, Bukhal Paboda, Brahma, the Estanabuddha, Sistubanda, Alpan Shridam, Tava Vidam, Dadinavidatum, Soyam, proceed to the Bhagavan, Bhavan, Prada Alpha Bandu, Sri Brahmavaja. Neither Surubam Bodo, Sopadakam, Elegrahi, Purushoya, Vadiche, Yanasay Arta Simunasi Ashrayo, Mayam, Idrito Yaraswam, Indravaja, the picture of Vishabhavan and Mubiran and the Garam, Manodasham, Suravid, Chapani, Rai there, Ujandi, Govan Namastavi, Patnuju, Etnoyam, the Vedanaik, and Asristovit, the Pashubina, the Chavoval, Tamnastum, Shavashaina, Bashantamidam, Etnal Pandalin, Vija, the Shapunihi, Vishayoju. And then Midam Deva and Vijayanam, in Alpana, Cherasi, Karmana, Jesse, Gudei, and was a Vishwim, Namanya, the Swim, and Watadim Hawan, Sidhauju. I am Tulkadam, Rashtabi, Yushanadiam, and Varanak, Kleshadawa, Nidata, Rashato, Vadharona, Sasmara Bhavam, Manish Pramari, Brahmasam Banavana, Ismanivaja, Swagam, the proceedings of Bimama, Shivasa, Shriya, Kamba, Yatrahina, Tomar de Shanaki, Makashobi, Shushahina, Kabando, Yata, Purusha, Logabala Ujum. Brishtakim no drukbir asagrahistum, Protegrishtadr Shere and Adrisham, Maya Hesha, Bhavadi Yahibuan, Estom Shasta Panjavi Basi Bude, Yogeshraju, Praya, Madonius Tomodasai Pro, Vishal Panichina Brakimalpana, Adavi Bakti Shari Ovadavada, and Anurtia and Behavel Salam, Jagadu Pavasitle, Shudevado, Bhavid Yaman, and I Alpha Maya, is Alpha Vedam, the Esosam Staya. Inivarti the Brahmana Alpanina, Brahmavaja, Namaste, Shunda Satwaya, Dharmahi, Inam the Sulbei, Narguna de Elkasha, Mahameda, Aperevija, Admirvaja, Yteja Saham Susamitanija, Havim Mahesa, Dramaja Sitam, from yet Yam Manjavidam, the Benjavi Sustam, Yujubi Pranados, Miet Yum, Deva Ucho, Pura Kalpava, Sugram, Uri Ritivism, Tomeva, Justasmin, Salam Regi, Indradi Shaini, Puma, and Sheshe, the Universal Alpha Badavi. Eva, Dash, Tomeviabari, Sarasibatia, Nasina, Yantava Ujum, Asham Shaste, the only Chari, Brahmin, Rabio, the Vagana, Dravidava, Creda of Hanam, Shuvidam, Yasavi Brahms, Tasmay, Tiamna, the Masti, Karavama, Yadra Ujum, Tuna, Artamavi, the Kalebaresmin, Kutuama, Mohammed, or Madil Pare, Isway, Shipto, Pisa, Dushila, Alpha Moham, Ushal Karavan, Shay, Vagamudjum, the Sail, Brahmana Ujum. tam kadastam havistam mudasya svayam tam hi mandra samintar bravatrani ja tam sadasyatya adyo dambari devada adnihotram sada samamajyam pashu tam viragam rasaya maha sugaro damshaya patmini marane droyadha suyamano nanam nilaya yogi jaharda trai gana yatne krado saprasidattum asmagamadam kshadam dasham de pariprashta salkarmanam yurtimayena parnami yatneshade yatne vidyam kshayam yandi dasmai nama maitreya vaja idakshana vidyatyam badre dhravarshinam Kirtimani Shigay says Sandini Bhavani, Bhagavan Suya Bhagina, Sarvatma, Sarvabhagabu, the Chambavashama Pasha, Priyamana, Vivanaha, Sri Bhagavan Vaja, Hambramasha Sarvasha, Jagatakarana Param, Almation of the Dreshta, Swayam Dragavishanam. So, Supreme Personality of Godhead came to the scene of the sacrifice at the very end. And at that time, seeing Daksha's condition, he spoke about the necessity to realize who is. The who in what position is, particularly Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Krishna, he says here, Sri Bhagavan Vaja, Aham Brahma Aja Sarvascha, Jagadak Karanambaram, the three personalities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, has been retained for maintenance of this creation. That is their role. Alpineshana Ubadrashta, Swayam Drugavisheshana, Almayam Samavishasoham Gunamayim Dija, Sajan Rakshan Haran Vishwam Dadre Satyam Prayojidam, Tasman Brahman Didi, Kevare Brahmatni, Brahmadrajabuani, Pedin, Akni, Unubashiri, Yata, Purana Songishu, Shiravanya, Shikwajil, Parakivitim Guru, Vivam Budeshumal Pera, Prayana Megabhavan, Yonavashiri, Pidam, Sarabudal Panam, Brahman, Sashandi Marigachari, Shri Maitre Vaja, Evam Bhagavad, Ishtapraja, Vibhadar Harim, Archituam, Kaduna, Swenam, Devan, Hedo Ejel, Vidranja Swenavagina, Upada, Valsamohidam, Karmano Devasanina, Somavan, Nidra Navi. Udavasasatibi, Sasna, Hodam, Tasma, Pinavavana, Sveneva, Baptra, the same, Tamayanim, the Twa, Tadeshasti, Divam Yeo, Evan Dachaini, to Asadi, Purvakalavaram, Jetni, Himova, Chetremena, Amishishuma, Tommy, the Muyama, the Padivam Digam, Ananibavigadim, Shakti Supte, Purusham, Edel, Paguda Shambo, Karma, the Chandra Duha, Shudam, Paguda Chisham, Utavane, Braspade, Idam Pavitram, Paramishinam, Isasema, Ishamaho, Kamashanam. Yo Nityanam Karnanaru Nagartayam Vinotikam Kavirava Bhakti Bhavada Vishwal Bhagavadi Mahabrani Chaturtha Skandhe Dashayam Samdhanam Nama Saptamo Dhyaya. So with those seven chapters we complete the story of Daksha and in the eighth chapter actually begins the story of Dhruva Maharaj. In the dynasty of or in the family of Uttanavada, Dhruva Maharaj appeared. So after Daksha Prajapati's apologies to Lord Shiva, and after Lord Shiva mentioned that Vishnu was not present in the sacrifice, that he should be invited, Daksha Prajapati understood the serious mistake what he has done in the sacrifice. And it is then that Lord Shiva requested Mahavishnu to come down from the Vaikuntha planet and to receive the offerings. All the sacrifices are meant to please Vishnu. So in that, at the end of Daksha Prajapati's story, it is mentioned there that Mahavishnu requested them to understand the position of the Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva in the material, in the creation. And also the story of Daksha has a lesson. Once a devotee mentioned, was reciting, explaining the story of Daksha to Krishna. Krishna heard the story and asked the devotee, why did this happen to Daksha? The devotee said to Krishna, the only reason why this has happened is that Brahma has patted Daksha too much. Brahma should not have allowed him to go to this degree of freedom in his hands, knowing very well that it will end up in this situation. So you can see that the incidents, what has happened in the Puranas at different times, different devotees have discussed this with Krishna in their own spiritual life when they had the opportunity to, when they were in that situation to discuss with Krishna. And Krishna has also inquired from them what they thought about these different situations, what happened to Daksha. So Krishna agreed that Brahma has given too much freedom to Daksha, and with the result was that through the karmagandam what has influenced Daksha and the mode of rajogunam that has affected Daksha,
Daksha has come to the position of offending even the great personality like Lord Shiva. So that can also happen to anybody. Now, when we move into the next story, in this, so far, in these seven chapters, we're discussing Daksha Prajapati, Sati Devi, Lord Shiva, their stories. Now we go into one of the most interesting stories in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the story of Dhruva Maharaj. So why this story is important is that Dhruva Maharaj's story is giving us an insight into some of the things what we are not aware of in our dealings within this world. That is the most interesting part of the Dhruva Maharaj story. That Dhruva, as we know, most of us know the story of Dhruva, how Dhruva performed his penances and how he how he was forced into that situation. Uttanapada had a wife by name Suniti first. So Suniti, just like the name indicated, the name represented the personality. That is how in the olden days people were given names according to their character. Nowadays you give name to somebody, but there is no relationship with the person and the name he holds. So that is one of the changes. But in the olden days, you will notice that when the names were given to children, they consulted the astrologers, and astrologers looking into the chart of the child were able to predetermine what kind of personality will come from that life, from that child, and accordingly a name was chosen. And because of this, in the modern times, we got reference books to refer which name to choose. So that's how name is chosen these days. And sometimes it's so funny that the name that's been given to the child doesn't represent at all any of the characteristics or character of the personality who holds that name. And therefore, among the learned old circles, they make joke out of this, of the modern ways of naming the children. And that's why that sometimes it is said that some of the names, for example, three letters are very much popular these days. They don't want a long name because they think it's too much to call somebody when you have a long name. And so they shorten it into two or three letters, as short as possible. And it's easier to call them, but at the same time, it is not the Vedic system. On the other hand, the Vedic system was that name represented the person. Person's nature. So Suniti was like that. Suniti's case was just like she was a very, very personality. Suniti's personality was such that she was very much religious in her dealings with people. In other words, all the good qualities what is expected from a woman was in her, and therefore she was given this name as Suniti. That does not mean that she wasn't very good looking or anything. But more than her beauty, her character overpowered that. In other words, her character was the more powerful side of her life that she was given this name as Suniti. If you look into the other wife of Uttanapada, he had another wife by name Suruchi. Now, just like Suniti, the word Suruchi also has its deep meaning. In other words, she was, for appearance, she looked very beautiful, but as far as the other things are concerned, she was a little bit behind. That's what it meant. Suriji meant that she was looked beautiful, but on the other hand, as far as honesty, truthfulness, and qualities are concerned, she was a little bit behind compared to Suniti. So Suniti and Suriji, two wives for King Uttanapada. First he married Suniti, and for a long time they had no children. Suniti had no children and Uttanapada had no children. So he decided to marry once again, and that is how Suruchi was brought in. So after Suruchi was married, it so happened that both Suniti and Suruchi became pregnant, and two children were born from that, from both of them. From Suniti, Dhruva was born, and from Suruchi, Uttama was born. So originally, when Uttanapada married Suniti, the understanding was that Suniti's son will become the next king. That was the understanding. But because no children were born, and all the Kshatriya kings by nature, they had many wives. And because they had many wives, they had many children also. And it was for them, it was a matter of great concern that they should have children to take over the kingdom after their time. So Uttaravada was very much worried and about having no children, and therefore he married Suriji. But when Suriji was married, the Suriji was given a commitment that the children born from Suriji will become the next king. So when both these children were born, Dhruva and Uttama from Suniti and Surichi, it became a very difficult situation for the king, because legally speaking, Suniti's son had the right, Dhruva had the right for the throne. But on the other hand, he had the commitment to Suriji that Suriji's children, who were born from Suriji, will be offered the throne as well. So when both these boys, they start growing up, and this crisis developed in the family very strongly. So at one point in time, that because of this crisis, the competition between Suriji and Suniti grew stronger. And in the result of that, both of them were trying to influence the king very strongly. And in the end, Uttaravada fell into the hands of Suriji. In other words, he became influenced by Suriji to such a degree that he decided to take Suniti away from the palace, built a separate house away from the palace, and kept Suniti and Dhruva in another house. And she lost all her position as the queen, first queen in the family. Suriji, obviously, because of her strong influence on Uttaravada, became the queen, and they lived a life like that. But Suniti, although she went through all these difficult situations, she still was not a person who will easily give up her religious principles. She was very, very much very qualified in that sense, that she was always a support to many, many others, even in their difficult times. About Suniti's qualities, it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam like that. So, once it so happened that Dhruva was not allowed to come and play in the front of the palace, where Uttama used to play. Dhruva was always restricted by Suniti and also by the other maids who were helping Suniti to avoid any trouble between Suniti and Suriji. Suniti and Suriji, being Kshatriya women, they also had equally very powerful nature in them. That Suniti wanted that Dhruva Maharaj should become the next king, but at the same time, Suriji always saw Dhruva as the biggest enemy of her son, Uttama. Because as long as we can see, among the princes and the royal families, this authority and the control of the position, or to get that position, they will go to any extent. And therefore, Suriji was very much aware that once Dhruva grows up, once he gets big, if he was not offered the kingdom, it is possible that Dhruva will use force to get rid of Uttama and take the kingdom. So in that desire for protecting her own son, of her cautious nature, she was always trying to find ways and means to get Dhruva out of the palace. But the children didn't know anything between them. They were young, they were so small. And Dhruva and Uttama, they were almost the same age as well. They played sometimes together in front of the palace. And in one occasion like that, when Suniti, without Suniti's knowledge, Dhruva came over to the palace, and he was playing with Uttama in front of the palace, in the courtyard. So when he was playing like that, suddenly Uttama felt the desire to go and see his father, Uttaravada, who was on the throne. So at that time, Uttama went to see his father. That time Dhruva also said that, "I will also come up then. I also want to see my father," he said. So it so happened the two boys, Uttama and Dhruva, went up to see their father. And Uttama, as soon as he got in there, he jumped into Uttaravada's lap. Now, when he jumped into Uttaravada's lap, Suriji was standing there and observing the whole scene. And as soon as Dhruva came up, Uttaravada, although being the eldest son, he wanted, naturally the father had the more affection toward the eldest child. He wanted to take Dhruva onto his lap, but somehow or the other, looking into Suriji's face, Uttaravada sensed the situation is not very favorable. So because he was frightened in some sense, Suriji's nature, he decided not to lift Dhruva from the floor where he left him there. Dhruva felt very offended. Dhruva could not tolerate it anymore. Being a Kshatriya boy, his pride was very, very hurt. And because he could not, he felt so badly that he immediately went to the king, to his father, and he said, please take me also, he said to him. Uttaravada at that point very much wanted to take Dhruva onto his lap. But Suruji, the way she looked, gave the signal very strongly to Uttaravada that it was not a recommended thing to do at that point in time. So when all these things happened, Suruji at that point in time spoke some harsh words to Dhruva. In the Bhagavatam you will see the way she spoke, those words are very, very, very strong. Dhruvam Rajabhinandala. It says the king did not take Dhruva onto his lap and look after him. You can imagine a child of 5 years old. He doesn't know much about what goes on. But he knew that Uttaravada was his father and he had a right to sit on Uttaravada's lap. As much right Uttama had, Dhruva also had the right to do that. So when he was refused that, he immediately became very furious. And at that point, Suruji spoke to Dhruva that if you want to sit on Uttanapada's lap, this lap is not meant for anyone and everyone to come and occupy like that. But if you want to sit, Dhruva asked immediately, if I want to sit there, what do I have to do? Suruji's answer was, if you want to sit on that throne, on Uttanapada's lap, the first thing what you have to do is that you should go and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, it says there. And after worshipping him, he will appear in front of you one day. When he appears, you tell him that ask him to kill you. And when you are killed, you tell him to give you a birth in my womb. These were the words Suruji has spoken to Dhruva. And that Kshatriya's mind was furious and he was with anger. And also the tears were almost coming out on the eyes. And he could not tolerate that. And more than anything else, what upset Dhruva was that his father never spoke one word about it. So when this happened, Dhruva ran back to Suniti. And when he went back to Suniti, Suniti received him. There is some interesting instruction where Vyasa Maharshi has put in through that verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That sometimes we think we can say anything, anywhere. Nobody is noticing us. We could say something and get away with it. But so these words of Suruchi that hurt Krishna so much. It is not that Dhruva, she instructed Dhruva that you should worship Krishna. That is a very nice thing. But to tell Dhruva that you should say to Krishna that at some point you should ask me to give me a birth in Suruji's womb, to take birth in Suruji's womb, Krishna thought that was a little on the high side, that statement, which Krishna could not tolerate. And it is this statement of Suruji that turned everything very favorable to Dhruva later. You will see in the Bhagavatam as we go through this story that Dhruva Maharaj at the age of 5 to go to the forest and force Krishna to appear through his austerities and penances, and the success what he had in his spiritual life all came at this point when Suruji spoke like this. Because of the word Suruji was spoken was so powerful that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere, in all conditions, who knows what even we are thinking about other things, is such a person, how he could tolerate such a statement. In the Purushasuktam prayers, there is reference to Krishna like this. Sarvada pani padam dal sarvado okshi shiromukham. Krishna's hands are everywhere. Sarvada pani padam dal. Krishna's legs are everywhere. Krishna's eyes are everywhere. Krishna's ears are everywhere. We may think sometimes, oh, it's not in the temple, there's nobody there, I can talk anything about anybody, anywhere, and nothing will happen. No, it is not like that. Sarvada pani padam dal sarvado okshi shiromukham. Krishna's face is everywhere, hands are everywhere, legs are everywhere, eyes are everywhere, ears are everywhere. That is how Krishna is. And that is why in Purushasuktam prayers, when they offer these prayers to Krishna,
The understanding is that we are offering to the Viral Sarupam, or the that form of Krishna who is present in every aspect of this creation. So, knowing very well this, Supreme Personality of God had heard these words of Suruchi. When he heard these words of Suruchi, he thought that this has gone too far. And that is not at that point Krishna decided to punish Suruchi. Krishna decided to punish Suruchi, and at the same time, all these things became favorable to Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj went back to Suniti, and Suniti asked the boy what has happened. So Dhruva Maharaj spoken about all what has happened. Just see the Suniti's nature. Suniti, when she heard this incident from Dhruva, she also felt very disturbed. Of course, she was very hurt by the way Suriji has spoken. But because she was so qualified spiritually, she was able to instruct Dhruva properly at that time. And you will see Suniti's instructions to Dhruva there. Suniti says to Dhruva that whatever Suriji has told you, there is some point in that. Because what did she say to you? She told you that first you should go and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What she said is the right thing. Can any mother speak like that today? What Suniti has spoken. But Suniti's that mind was such that she was able to see and instruct Dhruva and not to feel any animosity towards Suruchi. This is what she taught him. First thing, not to feel any sort of animosity or any ill feeling towards Suruchi in the first instance. Secondly, Suniti told Dhruva that worshipping Supreme Personality of God and Krishna, that's our duty. But whether to take birth after that, or whether to take birth in Suriji's womb, or how to live in this world, that is not your choice. That's not your decision. That decision is Krishna's decision. Krishna will make that decision how you should live. But you have the freedom to do one thing, that is to glorify and to serve the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is how Suniti instructed. So when Suniti said this to Dhruva, Dhruva immediately caught on that and asked her that, you have to remember, Dhruva is only a 5-year-old boy. He hasn't got any idea what the Supreme Personality of Godhead meant. He has not been even educated in anything. He has just been playing all along his few years' time in this world. And at that point, Suniti told Dhruva that Dhruva's instructions to Dhruva that Ananya Bhavena, in the Srimad Bhagavatam uses the word Ananya Bhavena, that how should you worship the Supreme Lord? Ananya Bhavena, it says. In other words, at the moment, we have the greatest tool in our hand in serving Krishna is our mind. The mind is the best tool we have in serving Krishna. Along with the mind, we have got all the other senses as well, like the eyes, ears, and the tongue, and so many other things. So with these senses and with the mind, one is able to serve Krishna. Ananya Bhavena means that when one is able to bring every single senses and the mind in single mind into one direction, or in other words, mind is at the moment thinking about so many different things. But if the mind is able to completely focus on Krishna without being drifted away to anything else, similarly, the eyes always focused on Krishna. The ears always focused in Krishna's glories or hearing about Krishna. The tongue always only engaged in serving Krishna, chanting the holy name. Like this, all the mind and all the complete mind and the senses, when it is completely in one form, nija bhava bhavidaha, in the Bhagavatam it says, ananya bhavena nija bhava bhavidaha. That if in that way, if it is brought together, one time, at some point in time, Krishna will have to accept your surrender. Krishna will accept you as a devotee. This is how Suniti instructed Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj said to Suniti that, I'm going to try that now. Because he was hurt so much in his mind that he wanted to see who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. And if he is there, that to get his help in his anger, in his frustration with Suruchi and King Uttanapada, he decided to try it out. At that point,
Suriji could not control her tears anymore. It was almost going to come out. But it was then Suriji thought, if I start crying now, seeing Dhruva's situation, Dhruva's particular situation, what will happen to Dhruva? So she controlled herself very much, her emotions. But then Dhruva turned back and told Suniti that you should bless me now to become successful in my endeavor to find the Supreme Lord. Suniti, seeing this determination of this little boy, she decided, put her hands on his head and said to him, let all the demigods and others look after you in your effort. And Suniti thought that he will come back after a few minutes, after he'll change his mind, and he'll come back and continue playing again. But Dhruva was not willing to give up like that. So Dhruva left the palace, decided. So from Suniti he heard that in the olden days, when somebody wanted to find out where the Supreme Lord is, they went to the forest. So Suniti, on the same basis, Dhruva decided to go to the forest and find out where Krishna is. So he went to the forest. So seeing this Dhruva's determination and Dhruva's desire for finding out the Supreme Lord, in the Vaikuntha planet, Mahavishnu sends the whole scene very much. Immediately send Sri Narada Muni to go and help Dhruva Maharaj in this situation. There also, there is something very interesting. Because Sri Narada Muni, normally you will find in the Bhagavatam, in different situations, that any time when somebody has a strong desire to go back to the spiritual world, he will be there to help. But Dhruva's case is very, very special, because when he saw Dhruva going into the forest, all the memories came back to Sri Narada Muni, Narada Maharshi also, what happened to him when he was a little boy like that. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will notice this story, that Sri Narada Muni, when he was 5 years old, the sages who performed the Chaturmasyam, they blessed him and told him what he should do in his spiritual life, and the sages left. So he was also 5 years old, like Dhruva Maharaj at that time. And he was also looking for Krishna in the forest, exactly like Dhruva Maharaj was going to looking for him. So this whole thing became very interesting to Sri Narada Muni. Narada Maharshi was thinking that he is doing the same thing, exactly what I have done. So that sort of feeling was giving him a little bit more inspiration to go and to help. So Krishna, seeing all these things on the Vaikuntha, sent Narada Muni to do this. And as soon as Narada Muni appeared on the scene, Dhruva saw him standing there looking at Narada Muni. He thought that, oh, he looks like a great personality. So he paid his obeisances to Dhruva, paid his respects to him, and asked him why he has come on his way. Sri Narada Muni asked him what his intentions are. Dhruva told him the whole story, what happened, and what happened to him with Uttanavada and Suniti, and how determined he is to find the Supreme Lord and get an opportunity to get into the Uttanavada's lap somehow or the other. All these stories Dhruva started telling. Narada Muni smiled hearing all this the talk from Dhruva. But at the same time, Narada Muni wanted to test how determined Dhruva was. So he said to Dhruva, there is no need to go to forest looking for Krishna. If you just want to sit in Uttanavada's lap, I'll take you there. And I will mention to Uttanavada how much hurt you are. And I also mention to Suriji, I'm sure they will listen to me. And you can happily sit there. There is no need to go and spend your time and energy in the forest looking for Krishna. But Dhruva, look at the good fortune of Dhruva, that Suriji has, because she spoke that harsh words, Krishna has decided that Dhruva has to see Krishna at one side. On the other hand, Krishna has also decided that Suriji has to pay the price for it, what she has spoken. This whole thing comes into Dhruva's this episode. That on the one hand, Krishna decided to make sure that Dhruva also is elevated, or he is recognized as a devotee. On the other hand, he wanted to make sure that Suriji also has to pay the price for what she has spoken. So it is in this background you find there that Dhruva was determined to go to the forest. Dhruva said to Narada Muni that if you can help me to find the Supreme Lord, I will talk to you. Otherwise, please move away from my road. This is what Narada Muni said Dhruva said to Narada Muni. Seeing the little boy's determination, Sri Narada Maharshi gave him some instructions, the mantra to chant. the form to remember, the place to sit, all these things Narada Muni arranged for Dhruva Maharaj. And the place Narada Muni selected was Madhuvanam. It is one of the forests of Vrindavanam, Madhuvanam. And it is in Madhuvanam, it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yatra Sannihido Hari, where Krishna is always present, great, great sages look for Krishna in the Madhuvanam. Madhuvanam is known for its potency as one of the great places. It is there that in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam you will find the story of Ambarish Maharaj, who performed the Dwadasha Vratam or the Ekadasha Vratam in that 12 months in the Madhuvanam. So Madhuvanam is already known, just like Vrindavanam, is also known as a place, very well known throughout the history, as a place where many, many great personalities worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here you find Sri Narada Maharshi took Dhruva Maharaj there, offered him a place there, and gave him the mantra as Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And it is that mantra which is known as the Dwadashakshara Mantra, or the 12 letters. And this mantra was instructed to Dhruva Maharaj by Sri Narada Muni. So he received instructions from Sri Narada Muni, and he continued his search for Krishna. So in the Bhagavatam, while referring to this part of Dhruva Maharaj's penances, it says there that it took 6 months for Dhruva Maharaj for Krishna to appear in front of Dhruva Maharaj. And his penances are mentioned like this, that the for the first month, every 3 days, he came back from his samadhi. From his samadhi means that he has crossed beyond the Jagral, Sopnam and Sushupti states. In other words, the waking state, the dream state and the deep sleep, he has crossed over already. And every 3 days he used to come from samadhi, and when he came from samadhi, he used to take some water, and then he goes back into samadhi again. He stood on the toe of his right foot, and with both the hands on top of his head, that is how he was performing his penances. And this boy, who was so determined, and from inside, Krishna was giving the strength to him as much as required, that he continued this for the whole month. And every 3 days he would come back from samadhi and perform penances, went back to it again. And like that, second month, it became 6 days' time before he could come back from samadhi. And after 6 days when he came back, he took some water and then he went back into samadhi again. And in the ninth month, and the third month, it was 9 days it took for him to come out of the samadhi. Like the 6 months' time, this little boy, Dhruva, performed such strong austerities and penances. The result was that the Sarvajagal Pranam, as it is referred to Krishna, that Pranavayu inside, it started giving problem to the whole planet. The Mother Earth started feeling the weight of Dhruva so strong. In addition to that, all the demigods in the higher planetary systems, they started experiencing difficulties in breathing. Because the air, the Pranam, as it is referred in the Bhagavatam, Sarvajagal Pranam, as it is called, that Pranam has actually started coming under Dhruva's control. And this is a subtle side of the yogic power. All these great yogis who are such powerful personalities, they have so much control on all these material elements to such a degree that you can see that Dhruva in these 6 months' time, he performed such austerities and penances, he was able to give so much, such a weight was felt by the Mother Earth. And all the other demigods, they all approached Mahavishnu and complained to him about this little boy. So Vishnu obviously spoke to them and told them that it is all coming from Dhruva Maharaj. It is this little boy who is causing the whole problem. And so the demigods requested him to come and to do whatever is necessary to take Dhruva Maharaj out of that. So you will, if you read there, you will see in the Bhagavatam there is a very interesting part there. The Supreme Personality of God had appeared in front of Dhruva. And when he appeared, Dhruva Maharaj was not able to, did not know what to say. At that time, up to that point he appeared, he was seeing the Supreme Lord in his heart, the form which Narada Muni has recommended to him to meditate on. So that form he was meditating inside, and suddenly when the Supreme Lord appeared in front of him, immediately the form disappeared from inside. And as soon as Dhruva felt that he has disappeared, he opened his eyes, and he saw the Supreme Lord standing there with 8 hands and in the Ashtabhujayudaha, with the 8-handed form, he was present there. When Dhruva saw this form, Dhruva did not know what to say. So, at that point, Krishna, who was in that particular form, spoke to Dhruva Maharaj, knowing very well that Dhruva didn't know what to say because he has not gone to school or studied anything and he doesn't know what to say. But immediately Krishna realized that he had the desire to glorify him. So that is how it is mentioned, that he had the desire to glorify him, but at the same time, he didn't have the ability to do so. Even to glorify Krishna, one has to learn from Krishna only. Nobody else can teach us also. Even though we may glorify in our own way, sometimes it may be a little bit crude, and also it could be not very, very, very authentic or bona fide, because glorifying Supreme Personality of Godhead is not an easy thing for an ordinary living entity. That is why it is recommended that when we glorify the Supreme Lord, it should be done through the songs or the glorification done by the great acharyas and great devotees. Because if we do that, automatically that glorification will be appropriate. Otherwise, if you take to sometimes, some people find happiness in singing film songs, which has been written by the composers or the whoever has written the songs for the film. Now, if you sing those songs, automatically the impact of those songs also will be only to that degree, only to that extent. But to glorify the Supreme Lord, there is a process, and that process is Srimad Bhagavatam and all the other scriptures, what has been compiled by the great sages. So here, you will notice there that the Dhruva Maharaj did not have the ability to glorify Krishna. It was at that time Krishna took the conch shell and touched the kapalam area of Dhruva Maharaj. And when he touched that power, potency known inside, Shabda Brahmalmakam, it is referred to in the Bhagavatam like that, known as the power known as Vaikari, woke up inside. And the power Vaikari woke up, automatically Dhruva became the most powerful personality who had the highest control on the language. And that is why Dhruva's prayers, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you could never believe that it has come from a 5-year-old boy. It's impossible to believe that a 5-year-old boy could glorify Krishna in this way. It is so much knowledge, renunciation and devotion all combined together to such a degree that in Dhruva's prayers, about 12 or 13 verses, Dhruva glorified Krishna in the most elegant way. And therefore, this Dhruva's prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam has become an object of study for all the devotees. All the great, great souls, they have discussed the Srimad Bhagavatam and they have studied Dhruva's glorification of Krishna. And they recite this glorification because these prayers are actually Krishna himself has taught Dhruva. In other words, it is from Krishna that Dhruva got this ability to glorify Krishna in that way, known as Dhruvastuti. So Dhruva got the opportunity to glorify Krishna. And at the end of all that glorification, about 12 verses, at the end of that, Dhruva said to Krishna one beautiful sentence in the last line of a verse, Vashreva valsayam anugraha kataramscha. In the Bhagavatam, that is what you will find, that Dhruva says that Krishna is like a cow. Krishna is like a cow. Normally we say Krishna is a cowherd boy. That is how we refer to Krishna. But Dhruva says Krishna is like a cow. Why? Vashreva valsagam anugraha kadaramscham. That Krishna is Krishna's nature, Dhruva says there, that most of the times Krishna is the mother and we are like the calf. The ordinary people, they are like the calf. The calf, what normally does is, as soon as it gets its little freedom, it goes away from Krishna. It goes away from its mother cow. And what does it do? It gets into all sorts of nonsense, all sorts of mischiefs it gets into. Not only it gets into mischief, and then it starts crying in that condition. Then what happens then? The mother cow has to go and pull him out from that trouble situation. Dhruva Maharaj says to Krishna, you are like them, and we are like the calf. And it is very, very appropriate, because if you think about the conditioned soul's nature is like that. In this material world, most of the activities what we perform is not in relationship with Krishna consciousness. It's all done in complete ignorance. Complete ignorance. Well, it doesn't matter who it is. In majority of the cases, this ignorance goes to such a degree that they forget that they are not the proprietors of this world. Rather, on the other hand, they take out the complete authority in their own hands. And therefore, Dhruvanand says that let this ignorance not influence me anymore. Vashreva valsagam anugraha kadaram sham. But when a calf looks towards the cow for help, the cow is always there to help. And Krishna, Dhruvanand says there, Krishna is like that. When he becomes a devotee, or when he turns to the mother, then the mother cow comes to help. Otherwise, the calf continues doing its nonsense things, whatever it has to do in this world, and carry on doing that. So, like that, this glorification of Dhruva Maharaj is there. So, I'll just read that chapter before we go into further into that episode. Maitreya vacham bhavo bhavanyam nidhanam prajavade asalkradaya mavagamya naradal subhashada saini jatado tadvadaran bhube vidravidam krodham abharavadhade. Shri Maitreya Vacha Sanakadya Naradascha Hrugurhamso Arunidyadi Naide Grihan Brahmasuda Avasanyo Udhvareda Saha Mrusha Dharma Sivaryamsi Dambham Mayam Jashatruhan Asudamitinam Dattu Nididira Jagrihe Praja Tayo Samavallohu Nirdishcha Mahamadi Tabhyam Krodascha Himsa Jayadurekti Sasakali Durukto Kaliratham Bhayam Mrityanjasatama Tayo Vashchamitinam Jajni Yadana Nirayastatha Sangrahena maya khyadam prasargastavaranga trishutrutaidal puman punyam vidhano tyatmanomalam athada girtei vamsham punya girtei gurudvaha svayambhuvasyabhimano hare amshamsha janmana priya pradottana vado shadarupa padesuno vasudevasya galayarakshayam jagadastido jaye muktana vadasya sunidhi suridhistayo suraji prayasi bhaktyurnedara yasudo druva ekada suraji putram angamaro perayan uttamamaru ruchandam rom rajabhyanandadaham Tata Sigishamanantam Sabatnyasmanayam Dhruvam Suruji Shunado Ratnyam Sersha Mahadigarvidam Navalsa Nrupade Drishnyam Bhavan Arodu Marhadi Nagrihido Maya Tatvam Kuchava Vinruvalpayam Balo Osi Badalpanam Anyastri Garba Sampadam Nunam Veda Bhavan Yasya Durlabherte Manuradam Tapasaradhe Purusham Tasevanu Gahename Garbetum Sadayalpanam Yadi Chasinavasanam. So it is this sentence, garbhe tvam sadhayalpanam yadi chasin upasanam, that prompted Krishna to act immediately and to send Sri Narada Muni to Brahmaraj. Maitreya Vacha madhu savatnya sudurikti vidham shasandushadandhato yathahi hitvam shandam pitaram sannavajam jagama madhu prarudan sakasham tannishasandam spiridadharoshtam sunidirul sangamuhyabalam Nishamedal Pauramukhan Nidanam Savi Vede Yelgadidam Sabatnya Souls Rajadayam Milavashogam Bhavadina Davala Deva Bala Vakyam Sabatnyam Spiradim Sarojam Shriyadrisha Vashpagalam Vaha Dirkam Shasani Vajanasya Varam Abashari Balaga Mahabala Mamangalam Dada Vareshumam Stam Bhunte Janu Yel Paradukadastal Satyam Suvichya Abhidam Bhavani Yel Durbhagaya Mudri Grihidam Sanyena Vrdhascha Vilab Janeyam Bhariyedi Vahav Otamidas Padirmam Adishta Dattarim Valsarastam Uktam Samatra Vyavadav Vyaligam Aradhaya Dotsha Javada Valpam Vyadicha Sedhyasana Muttamo Yathaha Yasya Angri Valpam Vyadidya Vishwam Vibhavana Yathamuna Vivatte Ajodhya Dishtal Gharibharameshtam Palam Jidalpa Shasana Vivandyam Tadamana Vo Bhagavan Pidamaho Yamegamantya Apura Dikshaner Maghi Ishtu Abhivede Dhirvapya Manyado Bhavam Sukham Divyamadhava Vargyam Tame Oil Sashray Vrtyaval Salam Mamunshri Vrpagyamad Arjavadhanim Ananya Bhavi Nijadharma Bhavide Manas Yavastha Api Vajasya Purusham Sunidhi said to Dhruva Ananya Bhavi Nijadharma Bhavide Manas Yavastha Api Vajasya Purusham. That this is how one should focus one's mind and the senses. Nanyam dada padma valashalochanal dukkha chidande mrigyam ikanchana yo mrigyade hastakrihi davalpaya shriyeda reyanga mrigyamanaya Maitreya Vacha evam sanjalpidam adu akarnyartha agamam vajasam niyamnyalpana anatmanam nishchakram apidupural narada stutubhagarnyam jnatva tasya jigirshatam sprishtva amogdhanyagagmina panina prahavismidaha aho dejakshatriyanam manabhangam amrishyadam balopayam hrudadate yal samadra sadvajaha Sri Narada Vacha Sadhana Sadhana Pravamanam De Sammanam Vapi Pautraka Vikshayama Kumarasya Saktasya Kridanadishu
വികല്പേ വിദ്യമാനേവി നഹി സന്തോഷഹേതവാ പുംസോ മോഹോദയ ഭിന്ന യല്ലോകേ നിജകർമ്മഭി പരിദുഷേ തദസ്ഥാദ താവൻ മാത്രേണ പുരുഷാദയോപസാരിതം യാവത് ഈശേ ഈശ്വരഗതിം ഭുധ അത മാത്രോപതിഷ്ഠേന യോഗേനാവരുസാദം സമീപുംസാം ദുരാരാധ്യോ മതോമമ മുനയ പദവീം യസ്യാനിസംഗേന ഒരു ജന്മവി നമി ദുർമൃഗയന്തോമി തീപയോഗ സമാധിന അതോ നിവർത്തതാമേഷാ നിർബന്ധസ്ഥോ നിഷ്ഫല യതിഷ്യതി ഭഗവാൻ ഭവാൻ കാലേ ശ്രേയസാം സമവസ്ഥിതി യസ്യ ജലദേവവിഹിതം നസേന സുഖദുഃഖയോ ആത്മാനം തോഷയന്മേഹി തമസാ പാരമർച്ചതി ഗുണാധികാൻമുദം ലിപ്സേ അനുക്രോശം ഗുണാധമാൽ മൈത്രിയും സമാനതന്യുച്ചേൻ അതാ താപൈരഭിഭൂയതേ ശ്രീ ധ്രുവവാച സ്വയം ശോഭവത സുഖദുഃഖദാത്മനാം ദർശിതകൃപയാ പുംസാം ദുർദർശോസ്മൃതിദയസ്തുയാം അതാപി മേ വിനീതസ്യ ക്ഷാത്രം ഭരമുപേയുഷാ സുരച്ചാദുവചോർഭാനേന ഭിന്നേശ്രൈദൈഹുദീ പദം ത്രിപുനോൽകൃഷ്ടം ജയീഷോ സാധുവർപ്പമേ ബുഹ്യസ്മൽ പിതുവർബ്രഹ്മം അന്യൈരഭ്യന്നധിഷ്ഠിതം മൂലം ഭഗവാൻ ഭഗവതോ യോഗജ പരമേഷ്ഠിനാം ഇതു തന്നടദേവീണാം ഹിതാർത്ഥം ജഗതോർക്കവൽ ശ്രീ മൈത്രേയുവാച ഇതി നാഹനാകണ്യം ഭഗവാൻ നാരദസ്തദാ പ്രേതപ്രത്യാഹരം ബാലം സദ്വാക്യാമനുഗമ്പയാം ശ്രീ നാരദുവാച ജനന്യാവീതപ്രന്ദാസമൈ നിശ്രേയസ്യ ഭഗവാൻ വാസുദേവസ്ഥം ഉപജഗൽ പ്രവണാത്മനാം ധർമാർത്ഥകാമോക്ഷാജ്ഞാമ്യേച്ഛേമാൽപന ഏകമേവ ഹരേ സത്രകാരണം പാദസേവനം തത്താദ ഗച്ഛപുത്രം ദേവനായ സ്ഥലം ശുചി പുണ്യം മധുവനം യത്ര സാന്നിധ്യം നിത്യതാ ഹരേ സ്നാത്വാന സേവനം തസ്മിൻ കാളിന്യാം സലിലേ ശിവേ കൃത്വോചിതാന്യവസം നാൽപ്പന കൽപിതാസന പ്രാണായാമേന ത്രൂത പ്രാണേന്ദ്രിയ മനോബലം ശനേവിധ്യായേന് മനസാ ഗുരുനാ ഗുരും പ്രസാദാഭിഗം ശശ്വൽ പ്രസന്നവദനേക്ഷണം സുദാസം സുബ്രഹ്മം ചാരകപോലം സുരസുന്ദരം തരുണം രമണീയാംഗം അരുണോഷ്ടേക്ഷണാധരം പ്രണതാശയനം നൃണം ശരണ്യം കരുണാർണവം ശ്രീവത്സാംഗം ഘനശ്യാമം പുരുഷം വനമാലയം ശങ്കരകൈതാവൽപം അഭിവ്യക്തജോർഭുജം കിരീടനം കുണ്ടലിനം കീഴവലയാനിതം കൗസുഭാഭരണഗ്രീവം വിതകൗശേയവാസസം കാഞ്ചീകരവര്യസ്തം നസൽ കാഞ്ചനനൂപനം ദശനീയതമം ശാന്തം മനോനയവർദ്ധനം പദ്ഭ്യം നഗമണിശ്രേണ്യം വിലസദ്ഭ്യം സമർച്ചതം ഹൃൽപർപ്പകർണികാധിഷ്ണമാക്രമ്യാത്മന്യവസ്ഥിതം സ്മൂയമാന വിദ്യയാൽ സാനുയോഗാവലോകനം ഭൂതേന മനസാ വരദർഷമം ഏവം ഭഗവതരൂപം സുഭദ്രം ധ്യായോമന നിർവൃത്യാപതയാ പൂർണ്ണം സമ്പന്നം നിവർത്തതേ ജപ്യശ്ച പരമോ ഗുഹ്യ ശ്രൂയതാമേ നുവാത്മജ യം സപ്തരാത്രം പ്രമാൻ പുമാൻ പശ്യതി ഖേജാൻ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ മന്ത്രീനാനീയ ദേവസ്യ കുര്യാൽ ദ്രവ്യമയീം ഭൂദാസപര്യം വിവിധ ദ്രവ്യ ദേശകാല വിഭാഗവത്സലിനെ ശുചിപേർ മാലിയർ വന്യർ മൂലമലാധിപി ശസ്താംഗുരേശുശ്ചാ തുളസ്യാ പ്രിയാപഹും ലബ്ധോ ആദ്രവമയീം അച്ഛാം ക്ഷിത്യം ബാലിഷോ അച്ഛയൽ ആപദാത്മാ നിശാന്തോയിതമാനിതമന്യപുരു സ്വേച്ഛാവാരചരിതി അചിന്യനിജമായ കരിഷത്തി ഉത്തമശ്ലോകസ്ഥധ്യായംഗമം പരിചര്യാഭവയാവത്തെ പൂർവസേവിത താമന്ദഹൃദയനൈവ പ്രജ്ഞാൻ മന്ത്രമുക്തൈ ഏവം കായനവനസാവചസാജമനോഗതം പരിചര്യമാണോ ഭഗവാൻ ഭക്തിമൽ പരിചര്യയാ പുംസാമുമായിനാം സമ്യക്പതിതാം ഭവവർദ്ധന ശ്രയോ നിശ്ചത്യഭിമതം യദ്ധർമാനുഷുദേഹിനാം വിനസ്തശ്ചന്ദ്രിയതോ ഭക്തിയോഗേന ഭൂയസാ തം നിരന്തരമാവിനാമജതേധാ വിമുക്തയെ ഇത്യുക്തസ്തം പരിക്രമപ്രണം നിവാർഭക യയോ മധുവനം പുണ്യം ഹരേ ചരണചർച്ചിതം തപോവനം ഗതിയതസ്മൻ പ്രവിഷ്ടോണ്ടപുരം മുനി അർഹിതാർഹണകോ രാജ്ഞാ സുഖാസീന ഉവാചാം ശ്രീനാരദുവാചാം രാജം കിം ജായസേ ദീർഘമുഖേന പരിശിഷ്യത കിം മാ നിരീക്ഷിത കാമോ ധർമ്മാ വാർത്തേന സംയുതാ രാജുവാചാം സുഗോമീ ബാലകോ ബ്രഹ്മൻ സ്ത്രൈനാൽപന ധ്രുവാസീത പഞ്ചവർഷ സഹമാത്രാ മഹാൻ കവി അഭിനാഥം മനേ ബ്രഹ്മ അസ്മാദന്ത്യർഭകം മൃഗാ ശാന്തം ശയാനുശനം പരിമ്ലാമുഖാമുജം അഹോമീവ ദൗരാത്മം ശ്രീനിവ സോഭ്യതാരയ എങ്ങും പ്രേംനാരുക്ഷന്തം അഭിനന്ദമസത്തമാ നാരദുവാച മാമാശിതസ്വതനേന്ദ്രഗുപ്തം ശാമ്പതി അൽപ്രഭാവ വിജ്ഞായ ഭാവം തേയതിശോ ജഗൽ സുഷ്കരം കർമ്മകൃത്വാലോകവാണി അഭിപ്രഭു അശ്വതജിതോരാജനീശോപിലയം സ്തവ ശ്രീ മൈത്രയുവാച ഇതേവർഷിണാ പ്രോക്തം വിശുദ്ധജഗതീപതി രാജരശ്മിമാനാദൃത്യമുത്രമേവാനചിന്തയൽ തത്രാവിശുദ്ധ പ്രേതസ്ഥാം ഉപവൃഷ്യവിഭാവനീം സമാഹിതപ്പരേദൃശ്യശയനപുരുഷം ത്രിരാത്രാന്തേ ത്രിരാത്രാന്തേ കവിത്തപതിരാശനം ആത്മവൃത്യനുസാരേണ മാസം നിന്യർച്ചയൻ ഹരിം ദ്വിതീയം ചാമാസം ഷഷ്ടേ ഷഷ്ടേർഭഗോദിന ത്രിപർണാദിവിഷയമേകൃതാന്നോഭ്യർച്ചേദ്വ്യം തൃതീയം ചാനയൻ മാസം നോമേ നോമേ ഹരി അഭക്ഷോത്തമശോപദാവത്സമാധിന ചതുർത്ഥമവിസൈ മാസം ദ്വാദശേ ദ്വാദശഹിണി വായുഭക്ഷോജിതശ്വാസോ ധ്യായേന്ദോ മധാരേൽ പഞ്ചമീമസിനു പ്രാപ്തി ജിതശ്വാസോ നൃപാൽപജാം ധ്യായൻ ബ്രഹ്മവദൈകേന തസ്തോ സ്ഥാനവാചല സർവദോമനമാംഗശക്തി ഭൂതേന്ദ്രിയാശയം ധ്യായൻ ഭഗവതരൂപം മദ്രാക്ഷൽ കിഞ്ചനാപരം ആധാരമഹാദീനം പ്രധാനപുരുഷേശ്വരം ബ്രഹ്മദ ഹരേമാനസിത്രയോ ലോകാംശഗംഭീരേ യവേകവാദീന സമാർത്ഥിമാർഭക തസ്തോ സദം വിഷപീഡിതാമഹി നാമത്രാദമേന്ദ്രതിഷ്ഠിതാതരീവ സംവേദന പദൈപദേ തസ്മിന്ന വിദ്യായ വിഷമാൽപനോ ദ്വാരം നിരുദ്ധ്യാസമനന്യയാധിയ ലോകാനിരുച്ഛ്വാസന പീഡിതാവിഷം സലോകപാല ശരണം യജും ഹരിം നൈവാഹൂജും നൈവമിനാമോ ഭഗവാൻ പ്രാണരോധം ചരാചരസ്യാഖില സത്വധാമ്ന വിദേഹി തന്നോജിനാദ്വിമോക്ഷം പ്രാപ്താ വയം ത്വാം ശരണം ശരണ്യം ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ വാച മാവൈഷ്ടേ ബലം തപസോദുരത്തെയാം നിവർത്തയിഷ്ടേ പ്രതിയാസുദാമ ಯದೋ ಹಿಮ ಪ್ರಾಣ ನಿರೋಧಮಾಸಿ ಔತಾರವಾದರ್ಮಯಿ ಸಂಗದ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಿ ಮಹಾಪುರಾಣಿ ಚತುರ್ಥ ಸ್ಕಂದೆ ತೋಚರಿದೆ ಅಷ್ಟಮೋಧ್ಯಾಯ. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಧ್ರುವ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಇನ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ಟಾಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿ ರೆಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಧ್ರುವ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ. ಸೊ ಧ್ರುವ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ ಈಸ್ ಎ ವೆರಿ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್. ಅಟ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಟೈಮ್ a lot of these personalities in this fourth canto is also telling us so many things, like we saw about Suniti and Suriji. Suniti is telling us we should become like her. Suriji is telling us we should not become like her. In this fourth canto particularly, you will find a lot of personalities who are teaching us, some of them telling us that this is the way to go, and some of them telling us this is not the road to go. So like that, Suniti and Suriji, there are other personalities also in the fourth canto. In the Shastram, in the Bhagavad, according to the Bhagavatam science, it's mentioned as Anvayam Vidrekabhyam. That means they try to teach us, some of them by their actions or by their activities, that follow my route in spiritual, in your life, it will help you in your spiritual life. And somebody else telling us that, just like Suriji, that this is not the road to follow. We will see that when we come to that part of Suriji's life. Why that Suriji had to go through so much difficulties in her life because of the words she spoke against Dhruva. And sometimes when we talk about Krishna also, that this consciousness has to be always there, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we speak anything about Krishna, we have to be careful. Also, about devotees also, who are taken shelter of Krishna, one has to be careful while referring to them. Some instances, sometimes Krishna may not like it. And if Krishna doesn't like it something, then Krishna may also react to it accordingly. And Dhruva Maharaj's story is a classical example of one such thing, that Krishna could not appreciate the comments from Suriji, and he decided to punish Suriji. So that comes later. We'll see on the next Sunday. If there's any questions or comments.
That mantra, what is that?
So this story,
yeah.
That the mantra Om Gurudev Vasudevaya was taught every day.
No, it's not. Om Namo Gurudev Vasudevaya is mentioned in another part of the Upanishads, actually. And although this instruction was given, because the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, that mantra has its bijam or its roots goes into Upanishads. It comes from there. But any mantra, it is not the mantra that makes the person potent with that. It's the personality who has given that mantra. For example, when Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya was given to Dhruva, Sri Narada Muni was the person behind it. And you could see that Narada Muni's strength, that when he gave that mantra to Dhruva Maharaj, by chanting that mantra, Dhruva has attained perfection in his spiritual life. So it is Narada Muni's potency who gave the mantra more than the mantra itself. Mantra, there are so many mantras in the Puranas and in the Upanishads. You will find so many mantras, Ashtasharam, Dvadashasharam, Shodashasharam, there are so many mantras, Sri Krishna Ashtotarasharam, all the mantras are there, but receiving a mantra from a personality like Sri Narada Muni, that has helped Dhruva Maharaj to become that perfection in that position. Yes, Parashuram. Yes. Krupacharya. Krupacharya is, yes.
But Krupacharya, he died.
No, he didn't die. You will see at the end of Mahabharata war, three people were left behind. One was Ashwatthama,
yeah.
One was Krupacharya, and one Duryodhana was going to die, and they were discussing each other. Krupacharya didn't die.
Duryodhana is also part of
this. No. Duryodhana was killed there at that time, yes. But Ashwatthama, Krupacharya, Vibhishana, that is Ravana's brother,
yeah.
Yeah, he is one of the Chiranjeevis. Markandeya Rishi, the sage I was talking about. Mahabali, he is Mahabali. Bali Maharaj. In the Bhagavatam, you see his story. Bali Maharaj is an eternally living personality. Vedavyas Maharshi, he is another person. And how many have we now? Mahabali, Vedavyas, Mahabali, Markandeya, Vedavyas, Vibhishana. Then Ashwathama and Kripacharya and Markandeya Rishi. Did I mention Markandeya before?
Five.
Yeah. And Hanuman, Anjaneya. Hanuman is also Chiranjeevi. Hanuman, Anjaneya. Yes. He lives eternally, yes. He lives eternally. So all these eight persons, they are known as the Chiranjeevis. They don't change their body. Chiranjeevi. Chiranjeevi means eternally living. Chiranjeevi. Yeah. Yeah. So they are those eight ones. Sahasra Kavacha comes as Karna later in the Mahabharata. It is Sahasra Kavacha, this demon. In that story, what it says is that that Narayana Rishi was very much a personality who practiced non-violence. I was mentioning that. But if it comes to killing a big demon like Sahasra Kavacha, Narayana Rishi has no hesitation. Because in other words, Narayana Rishi's understanding of non-violence is not like the way we understand non-violence. He believed, Narayana Rishi strongly believed that if a demon becomes so unbearable for the ordinary people to continue their life in this world, Narayana Rishi decided that he will kill him. There is no, that is his non-violence, understanding of non-violence is like that.
Why did it take a long time?
Because the Sahasra Kavacha got this benediction from Brahma. That he has these 1,000 sheets in his body and all the armor, and anyone who has to kill him has to fight 1,000 years to kill him. So that's why between Narayana and Narayana they performed this penances, and one fighting and one performing penances and mutually exchanging the position all the time. They fought that war, and that's why it took such a long time. But Sahasra Kavacha is a very, very interesting personality, and because he comes through Ramayanam and Mahabharatam all in different forms, like he came as a Karna in the Mahabharata, and he was killed. And you can see there is a relationship to Ramayana and Mahabharata also in that way, that so many things goes on in the higher planets, decisions are made, we are not even aware of anything, what happens. So. That's the way it is.
After the question, you know the first story that you were talking about. You ended the story. It was about what was the name of the person after?
Which story was that?
The very first one. You ended the topic.
Daksha.
Yeah. So.
Daksha Prajapati.
Yeah. When he had his head chopped off. And then reinstated.
Mm-hmm.
How was
he
his
got a goat's head.
Yeah, he got a goat's head.
Goat's
so
head,
how was his intelligence changed? You know, you had all this hatred and then all of a sudden he got changed. And then did it continue nicely after that period?
Yeah. The Bhagavatam says there that when Daksha apologized to Lord Shiva for what he has done, that apology was so sincere for what he committed the offense. That not knowing the glory or the greatness of a personality like Lord Shiva, he says there that I've committed this offense to you and forgive me and bring me back to my normal consciousness again. He prays like that to Lord Shiva. And it was Lord Shiva's mercy that he had to take the head. He has no choice there. He had to accept that. But Daksha comes later on, you will see, he gets another birth again as Prajapati, and he had got the same Sadi Devi who was his daughter, her expansions take birth as his daughters again later on. That comes later in the process of creation. But Daksha Prajapati learned this lesson at that time not to develop any more enmity towards Lord Shiva, and he completely, surrendered to Lord Shiva and repeatedly asked for forgiveness for his offense, what he has committed. So it is by Lord Shiva's mercy that he was able to live a life after that.
You know, I'm just surprised that his attitude just changed.
Oh yeah, that you will see in the Dromairaj story also, the same thing happens, which we will talk in the next Sunday. But you see, it is a very surprising thing that one can give up enmity in this world. It's not easy.
No, it isn't. So
it's not easy.
Just like that,
it just
changed.
Yeah. That is what Bhagavatam is teaching us. Only person who can give up enmity is the devotee. Others cannot give it up. This is what Bhagavatam is trying to tell us. That this inimical feeling towards someone, if you want to give up in 1 minute like that, it's not possible. Because it is so deep-rooted inside, the hate and the subsequent feelings. But in the Bhagavatam, there are two personalities who have given up their enmity in seconds. And that is, one is Dhruva and the other one is Prithu Maharaj, yes. These two persons, they had committed such offenses. In the case of Dhruva became very offensive. He is a devotee. Devotee doesn't guarantee that he is free from all sorts of... Dhruva became very offensive later on.
Oh, later on?
Yeah, that comes later. In the Bhagavatam you will find there. That Dhruva became so offensive that how could a devotee act like that? This question is asked by Vidura to Maitreya. How can a devotee act in this way? And that we will talk in the next Sunday, because that takes a bit of time. Well, the freedom is there. All of us have some freedom. But at the same time, we have responsibility also. When you forget the responsibility and simply take up our freedom, then it becomes a problem. Responsibility is more important than the freedom. Responsibility is that, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in many senses, that we have a great responsibility towards Krishna, because Krishna is maintaining us. But because... the human nature is such that we always tend to forget what help somebody gives us. On the other hand, we tend to remember the enmity towards someone much more strongly than the help what you get from somebody. If someone has given you something, also given you some, done some favor to you, the tendency is always to forget it. And this is the reason why we are able to forget Krishna easily. Because he does so much, but we are able to forget that Krishna has provided us so much. In fact, our very life in this world is dependent on Krishna's mercy. But how many of us are able to appreciate that? Most of us do not. And we act in such a way completely against the principles of Krishna's instructions, of what Krishna has instructed. So when it becomes unbearable, Krishna acts at some point. Krishna then gives a long rope to hold on to. But when it gets too much that Krishna cannot tolerate that, then naturally Krishna takes action. But when Krishna takes action, in the Bhagavatam that is also mentioned, how Krishna takes action. When Krishna takes action, normally Krishna doesn't come and kill directly himself. He doesn't do that. That is an unfortunate thing. Because if Krishna kills you, you are very fortunate. Then you are back to spiritual world again. But that doesn't happen. In the Bhagavatam, there is two incidents mentioned. Putana, she went around killing children. And she was so fortunate that Krishna sent her back to the spiritual world. Uddhava remembered this while talking to Vidura. You can see in the third canto there is reference to this. That he said that, Aho Bhagiyam Stana Kalakudam, that such a poison she was feeding to the children. And such a demoniac nature, that even to that person, Krishna sent her back to the spiritual world. But on the other hand, if you look at Jarasandha, Jarasandha was a Brahmana, is a great admirer of Brahmanas. Although he was a king and he was an associate of Kamsa, but he was a great worshipper of the Brahmanas, and Krishna wouldn't kill him. On the other hand, Krishna asked Bhimasena to kill Jarasandha. And in the Bhagavatam, while referring to that, Vedavyasa Maharshi says there that some people are so unfortunate that they fought against Krishna. They tried to annoy Krishna every possible way, but still they were not so fortunate to get killed by him. This is an unfortunate situation, and this is most of our situation also, because we have neither love nor hate for Krishna. We carry on like this, and therefore we have a very difficult situation. Whereas Kamsa, out of complete fear of Krishna, that he had so much fear for Krishna in his heart, that fear grew and grew to such a degree that he was seeing Krishna everywhere. The whole universe was full of Krishna for him. And the very night when Krishna appeared in the prison house, when the news was transmitted to Kamsa, Kamsa woke up, and in his dream he was dreaming Krishna. To such Krishna conscious he was, in other words. So when he came out, he could not see anything. He actually tripped, and the whole crown fell off, apparently, while running into the prison house. And still he was remembering Krishna so strongly. So it doesn't matter, in the seventh canto that reference is there, in which way you remember Krishna, either as an enemy or as your friend or as a devotee, sneham, bhayam, krodham, ragam, so many ways. The gopis, out of lust, they loved Krishna. It was lusty relationship with Krishna. And Srinarayana Maharshi was a devotee. Pandavas were a friend for Krishna. And Snehabhash and Kamsa was fear of Krishna. Shishubala was anger towards Krishna. But all these different human emotions, when it comes to its peak form, immediately Krishna takes action. But you have to reach the culmination or the highest intensity. Only at that point you can become successful as a devotee or a demon even. Because Kamsa, he was so fortunate that his fear for Krishna grew to such a degree that Krishna decided to get rid of him, and he was back into the spiritual world. But Jarasandha was not so fortunate. In the Bhagavatam it says like that. So we all belong to, although little bit of Krishna consciousness, whatever we have tried to cultivate, ultimately we are in that situation that our mind has not become so intense in its spiritual life.
No, why was it blaming Brahma?
This devotee mentioned that Brahma has done so many mistakes like this in his management. So the devotee mentioned to Krishna that Brahma shouldn't have allowed Daksha to go to such a degree. Krishna always asks devotees questions, you know. Like Krishna asks, when he finds that a devotee is seriously trying to glorify him, Krishna enters into conversation with the devotees and try to find out what the devotee thinks about it, what pastime he has performed. And especially in the 10th canto, you will find the amount of relationships Krishna had with the devotees and discussions Krishna had with the devotees every day. When the devotees try to explain different pastimes of Krishna, sometimes Krishna agreed with the devotees, sometimes Krishna disagreed with them. And that is Krishna's... And some devotees, Krishna questioned them also why they made that comment. All this is in Krishna's pastimes, in different instances. Throughout history you will find, but only thing is it all happens to great, great personalities. not to us. Yeah, all the stories in the Bhagavatam is telling us so many things, that the lower modes of nature, Daksha Prajapati's case, that was what was happening, that the Rajogunam was overpowering him, and he was affected by that, and due to performing the Kamakanda section of the Vedas, which he was very seriously following, he has lost respect for the great personalities like Lord Shiva, and with the result that he became offensive, and Bhagavatam is saying that if you want to grow as a devotee, in a devotee consciousness, you also have to see Krishna's presence in every living entity. You should always learn to worship, to see the Lord's presence in every living entity, not to ignore others, because that's considered to be in the mode of ignorance, that kind of devotion. That in every living entity, Krishna's So great devotees, they will always try to see the good things in another person. Always try to see the good things and ignore the faults, whatever one may find. Because ultimately, it is Krishna's part and parcel, that living entity also. And what you find externally is the modes of nature, not the person. It's the modes of nature. So that kind of intelligence is necessary in analyzing these situations.
Who was given a position of a star? Is it known as a North Star?
Pole Star, we call it. Dhruva and Suniti are supposed to stay in that planet till the end of the devastation. When the devastation is over, at the last minute, when the universe gets destroyed, they will move into the spiritual world together.
What's the story about the seven rishis?
Saptarishis, yes. In every Manu's day, there will be seven sages named, and they have seven stars as well. You can see those seven stars on a clear day if you look into the sky. Seven stars in a row, close to the moon. You can see them. Saptarishi is there. No, they are more or less in a straight line, with
four,
a little deviation.
Four and three or something like that. It's just like a square and a straight line.
Yeah. I haven't looked so much, but they say the seven stars are there. I mean, so many things in this universe unknown to us. What do we know about it?
It's Wednesday, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how is it that Sahasra Kavacha,
yeah,
he was being given and he took the sun of the field?
Yes. Yes. If you go into Mahabharata, you will notice there that Kunti Devi was given this benediction by Dhruvasamani that she can call any of the demigods. And Sahasra Kavacha had to appear again because he had to be killed, because he hasn't gone back. Although Narayana Rishi killed him, he did not get liberated. He did not get liberated. And Sahasra Kavacha had a strong desire to fight the war. That was one of his, it is with that consciousness apparently he died. That Sahasra Kavacha's giving up the body was his strong and intense desire to fight again. So because he wanted to fight again, he was given a body of Karna in the next life and asked to come down to participate in the Mahabharata war. This is the reason for Karna's appearance in the Mahabharata. So again, Puranas are indicating that the time of death, whatever strong desires are influencing you, that desire will be fulfilled again in another body, which will not go away easily. And sometimes even Karna's also unfortunate situation was Karna was killed by Arjuna. But Karna had the good fortune of seeing Krishna at the time of death. He was able to see Krishna and give up his body. Karna's qualities are admired very much in the Mahabharata as a great warrior and a very, very capable person. But unfortunately on the wrong side. That was all what happened to Karna. And the loyalty, what he was trying to show toward, and not acting at the time when Dushasana and others disrobed the Draupadi in the assembly. And the way he supported, because of his loyalty for Duryodhana, for providing him the position of a prince, where Pandavas have rejected him. All that, if you read in the Mahabharata, it is very interesting. Kunti Devi going to see Karna and trying to bring him, because she knew very well that Karna is more powerful than Arjuna in all means. And Karna also had the Kavacham and Kundalam, which was given to him. And it has to be taken out of him, otherwise it was difficult. So Krishna had different plans at different times in all these things. Krishna's plans are so difficult to understand sometimes. But behind everything, there is Krishna. Otherwise, Mahabharata war would not have happened in that way. It has happened. Okay, let's come. I'll go to the problem.